Blog Talk Radio.
Mo One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
If you are a man who recently exchanged wedding vows and got married within the last, say, 2 to 3 years, I have a question for you. How challenging was it for you to make the transition from being an eligible bachelor to being a happily, or in some cases, a dreadfully unhappy husband and father? Plain and simple, there are a lot of men who find going from bachelorhood to marriage to be one of the most egotistically and emotionally challenging periods in life for them. What is the upside of marriage, they think to themselves? What is the sex after the honeymoon going to be like, they wonder to themselves? Do women dramatically change their behavior towards their husbands once they're married, they ask themselves? My guest tonight is married and has been married for quite some time now. He says that there should be some sort of roadmap for men making the transition into marriage for the first time, because he believes that the vast majority of men can prepare themselves for most of the ups and downs experienced in marriage if only they have the right advice. My guest said he had experienced so much about life in such little time that he found himself being looked at as an informal advisor to many of his male friends and associates. Who is this man who proposes to have many of the answers for men who recently got engaged and are on their way down the altar? His name is Byron Williams, and tonight Mr. Williams is going to share his own brand of unique wisdom about being a womanizer, a boyfriend, and eventually a husband, as Byron Williams takes time out of his schedule in order to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my god, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my god,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on, because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode One, this is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Say it's some hoes are going. I know you got a clue what you're doing. You can play brand new to all the other chicks out here, but I know what you are. What you are, baby. Look at you, getting more than just a re-up. Baby, you got all the puppets with the strings up. Baking like a good one, but I call them like a PM. I know what you are. What you are, baby.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Up Front and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, January 12th, and tonight I'm going to be talking about, can a womanizer be rehabilitated and reformed enough to get married? You know, some women say that's not possible. Some men say that's not possible. But my guest tonight says it is indeed possible. And yeah, he is the former bodyguard of hip-hop star and world-renowned rapper Slim Shady, otherwise known as Eminem, otherwise known as Marshall Mathers. And, yeah, he used to be his bodyguard, and he will be here to talk about how he was this incorrigible womanizer for quite a few years, but then he ended up getting married, and he's still married. And I think he's raising three sons, but we'll talk to him in a little bit. I got some shows coming up. Next week, I got a young guy by the name of Chris Miller, who just the title of his book just raises your eyebrows. The title of his book is called Don't Be a Pussy. That is the actual title of his book, Don't Be a Pussy. And what do I need to say? I think that's going to be an interesting discussion. And that will be my guest a week from tonight. 2 weeks from tonight, I will welcome a young man from, of all places, Australia. Australia, a man named J.J. Roberts. And he's going to talk about his newest ebook entitled Sex 3.0. Just like you have software that you know needs an upgrade and a computer that needs an upgrade, he feels like the whole notion of dating and relationships needs an upgrade in the 21st century. And he's going to be here to talk about what modifications and changes and improvements he thinks that men and women should make as it relates to their dating life. And then in early February, I have a woman, I'm probably going to mispronounce her last name because I gotta get it right. The first name is Nicole, and her last name is Molier, I want to say, M-O-L-I-E, and it got one of those accented E's, R-E, Molier. And we're going to be talking about women who suffer from the pressure to get married. Women who have, like, say, their mother and or father or other relatives and friends who make them feel pressured to get married. And then finally, on the second Thursday in February, I will have for the third time Miss Yanni Brown. Miss Yanni Brown will be here to talk about couples, how they can make love better, how they can make their love and their relationship better. So that's my next four guests. My chat, you know, I love all my listeners. I love all my listeners, but particularly my chat room listeners. Yeah, I only got a few right now, so some of them must be distracted doing some stuff. But I got my most loyal listener in the house, Adrian, a.k.a. Diva362636. She's my most loyal chat room listener. And then I got Black Man USA. Now, Black Man USA said something that was startling last week when I was interviewing Jen Clark. He was like, "I'm Black Man USA, but I like that white woman." That was one white woman he enjoyed listening to. So she left an indelible impression on him. Black Man USA in my chat room. I got Smartin' Up. Smartin' Up in my chat room. I got my main man, Metal Hayes. No Head. No Head always gives me the most interesting of articles that relate to male-female relationships and dating relationships and love and sex and all that stuff. I usually post most of them. But, yeah, he just has a wealthy source of these well-written articles that make you think. He's in my chat room. I got Justice Bourne in my chat room. I got Janity in my chat room. And I got, I think, a guest in my chat room. I'm sure I have some more people making their way to my chat room. Other shout-outs will be my older brother, Ace Confidant, Stephen Curry, my cousin in Chicago, J.P. Jones in Chicago, Christopher Curry in Detroit, Athabasca in Maplewood, New Jersey, Philip Poyum, and his older brother, Irvin V. Poyum, the third, EVP3. He's my most loyal listener in my phone queue. That's how he listens to my show, in my phone queue. Others would be Edie Lee Harris, Vanessa Turner, Paulina Long, Linda Knight, Leslie Bang Williams, Mona Berry, my females from my female supporters group. I had one of my members from my female supporters group. She said, women don't engage in revenge sex. Why would they? Why would a woman ever? Here's women's revenge sex. One or two things. It's not giving you the pussy. That's revenge sex for women. Or fucking one of your boys. But, I mean, for a woman to have sex with you as a form of revenge sex, they don't look at it that way. I don't know if everybody who's listening right now knows what revenge sex is. I mentioned that actually last week on my show when I was interviewing Jen Clark, the concept of revenge sex. In a nutshell, revenge sex is like, for a man, is like, say you met a woman that just acted either like a bitch towards you or a prude towards you. And when you first try to get with her, she blows you off, ignores you, or maybe criticizes you and insults you. But then days later, weeks later, months later, or maybe even years later, you find yourself in a position to fuck her. And when you do, I mean, you fuck her like she's just a street prostitute. I mean, you just start just, you know, slapping your dick on her face and just doing it up. And you kind of had that underlying attitude like, yeah, take that. That's revenge sex for a man. And anyway, this female in my supporters group, she said as a woman, she couldn't relate to that. Yeah. So, again, most women, they would look at that as, you know, rewarding the guy. But anyway, that was interesting. But, yeah, much props to all my female supporters and my female supporters group. I'm hurt right now. I'm hurting right now, because last time I checked on ESPN, my beloved Indiana Hoosiers was on the verge of losing, and that pisses me off. You ain't lose to like an unranked team, man. That's some BS, man. Minnesota? Come on, man. I mean, Minnesota? Where Prince is from? What the hell are they doing beating us, man? That's somebody gonna have to lift my spirits because that's just jacked up. We losing to Minnesota, man. They ain't even ranked. Man, what is that about? What the f- man. Anyway, NFL playoffs is this weekend. Now everybody's talking, still talking about Tebow. You got to give it up for him, man. He played a good game, man. You just got to give it up for him. Quit hating. I know you still his fans, still a fans, and still hating. Quit hating. Tebow came through, man. Give it up for Tebow. Some people have been in my chat room right now. I got T. Michael in my chat room. I got Stan 14057444. I got Sir Cherry. I got Five Game 25. Christian Davis. What's up, Christian Davis? One of my regulars. He's in the chat room. But yeah, man, don't be hating on Tebow. Now, realistically, I got to be real. I don't think Tebow can outdo Brady, man. I don't know if Tebow can outdo Brady, man. Brady is just, I don't know. Brady just too much, man. So, I don't think he's going to get the best of, but you never know, man. Most people didn't think he's going to get the best of Pittsburgh. So you just never know. But anyway, that's one of the four games this weekend is New Orleans and San Francisco is one game. The Giants and the Packers is another game in the NFC. In the AFC, again, it is Denver at New England and then Houston at Baltimore. So I hope out of those four games, there's at least one upset. I hope there's at least one upset. But wait a minute, who's this in the chat room? Who? A man doesn't do things. A boy thinks he does. Oh shoot! Here we go. Somebody starting drama in the chat room. So, is this the person who's on my line? Okay. 504, are you T. Michael?
That's correct.
Okay. I see you speaking in the chat room, so I'm going to go ahead and give you an opportunity to speak on air. I take it you had an issue when I described the concept of revenge sex. So what's your comments, what's your opinion?
Well, it's not just that. It's the idea that any of the things that are truth about men are true about men. Because to me, a man is someone who understands that sex doesn't necessarily precede love, that he must take the time to become emotionally intimate with a woman before he becomes physically intimate with her. And that's how a successful relationship works. He understands those things. He doesn't use sex as a tool for revenge or just a tool for pleasure or getting, a quick fix. He understands it to be the expression of his love. He understands it to be the expression of his commitment, the expression of his soul. To say that men do all of these things is to say that's what a man is, and a man consists of a much greater character than that. That is the behavior of a boy, of a child, of someone who seeks pleasure in life as opposed to joy, someone who seeks a quick sex over a relationship, over a family. So when you say these are the truth of men, I say that they're not. They're the lies of children. So.
Well, I mean, I say this. We all have our opinions. That was yours. I respect that your opinion is different from mine. But I have to say, well, number one, I have to preface my comments by saying I don't think I said all men engage in revenge sex. So if I did, that was inadvertent. But I didn't say all men do. But for those that do, I wouldn't say suggest that they're not a man because they engage in that. I mean, you know, a lot of women come at me with that. Well, if a man does this, like I've had women say, simply if a man pursues casual sex, that means he's still in his teenage years and as he's immature. And my opinion, and again, we all have our opinion, my opinion, that's bullshit. You know, people have different interests. It's as simple as that. Some people's interest is long-term monogamous sex within the context of marriage. Some people's interest is long-term monogamous sex within the context of a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. Some people are into open marriages, open relationships, which would be long-term non-monogamous, swinging. Some people are in the short-term monogamous relationships. Some people are in the short-term non-monogamous relationships. I think I've had one of each one. And I just think men and women have different interests when it comes to sex. The only thing I guess I'm taking issue with is I don't like people who, because somebody is engaging in sex that doesn't fit within their lifestyle and within their value system, they want to pass judgment on it. Just say that that's not your thing, and you keep doing what you're doing. You let other people do what they're doing, unless you're talking about something that's really, like, you know, hurting somebody, like, I don't know, some kind of physical abuse type thing. I mean, you know, I never condone anything.
But how do we say, if that's the truth, if that's the truth, and what you propose almost is for us to sit at a round table and for everyone to say, you know, this is what I think, and then for everyone else to say, well, that's what you think, and I respect that because it's your opinion. But in doing things like that, we have to allow people who are related to sleep with each other. We have to allow people who are younger, who are almost too young by some people's standards, maybe not 100 years ago, but by today's standards, 13-year-old and a 30-year-old, would
that's
be ridiculous.
I'm not talking about anything illegal. If you're talking about statutory rape, I would never condone that because that's illegal. But I'm talking about sexual things that go under the category of personal preferences. Like, say, for example, BDSM. That's not illegal. Some people are into that, you know, the whips and chains and all that stuff. You know,
right,
I'm not going to judge anybody who's into that.
A law is only an opinion that was made. Someone made that law. It doesn't mean that it's not someone's belief. It doesn't mean that it's not someone's preference. My point being that you can't just say, I respect. In fact, I don't want you to respect me. If you disagree with me, I don't want you to say I respect you for what you're saying. Because why would you respect someone who you didn't agree with? I respect many opinions that are different from mine. Why would you tolerate intolerance? Well, if you think I'm being intolerant, why would you say I respect what you're saying? Even
no,
though
I said I respect the fact that you have an opinion that is different from mine. Simple as that. Like,
I said
I think Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player ever, and you said, no, I think Bill Russell's the greatest basketball player ever, that's the situation where I would say I respect the fact that you have a different opinion than mine. That basically says I disagree with your opinion, but I'm not going to suggest that you don't have a right to have an opinion that's different from mine. If I disrespected your opinion, that would basically be like me saying, I don't even think you have the right to have an opinion that's different than mine.
I think everybody is entitled to
their own opinions, but I don't have to agree with them.
Right. You may disagree with what I say, but you fight for my right to say it. I understand that, and I agree with that. But I'll put it differently. For me to continue, for me to be tolerant to intolerance, for me to see something that I believe is ignorant, and to say, well, that's your opinion. That, you know, you do what you want to do. That I allow people to have sex for the fun of it, to have children with people they aren't willing to date, to put them up for adoption or abort them because they don't care because of the lifestyle they've chosen. You know. And to me, that is something that's detrimental to society. That is something that's detrimental to children, to the lives of people, to the happiness of people. And it's not something that's questioned. I mean, almost every single relationship problem that you can come up with, I can tell you is because two people didn't really get to know each other first. They jumped into the physicality of it too fast, or they didn't care, or they weren't interested. One person wasn't interested in it, the other one was. But any happy relationship, any truly happy, long-lasting, successful relationship, that gave joy to a person's life, not pleasure, but joy, consisted of a kind of connection that was higher than physicality. It was it continued beyond the point where lust was a factor, beyond the point where sex mattered anymore. It became a lifetime's conversation where she's 71, he's 73, and each of them are listening to the other steps in the next room, hoping to not hear a sudden crash or a sudden fall to the end of that lifetime's conversation.
A lot
That's
of the things you're saying are valid, but my contention with the comments you just made, I've always said sex is something you can't overrate, or you shouldn't overrate or overemphasize, but at the same time, you should never underrate it or underemphasize it. Matter of fact, on this very show, I had a woman that did everything you just talked about. She said she got to know her husband. They didn't have premarital sex. She got to know his character, his personality quirks, et cetera. He got to know hers. But she said the one problem was once they got married, they didn't really have sexual chemistry, and they ultimately ended up getting a divorce. And so I always talk about it in my newest book, which I will plug right now, Ooh, Say It Again, Mastering the Fine Art of Verbal Seduction and Oral, not O-R-A-L, but A-U-R-A-L, sex. I say in one of the chapters about the importance of sexual chemistry and sexual compatibility. So you can, not just you, but I'm talking about the people in general, you can never, ever, ever act like sex is just this kind of secondary, trivial component of a relationship that can be more than easily compensated by all the other dynamics that go on in a relationship. No, that is not true. That is not true. If somebody just said in the chat room, Sir Cherry, no sexual chemistry, relationship is doomed. I don't think any relationship should totally revolve around sex, particularly you're talking about like a long-term relationship, but I don't think you can totally dismiss sex either. Sex
but
is never, important.
But it should, but I can. And I have my own experiences. I'm 20 years old. I'm almost 21 years old. I'm in the United States Navy. I consider myself a fairly attractive man. I've never had sex. I'm not religious. I'm Buddhist. I just believe that it doesn't precede love. You ought to be in love. And so I've lived that. And I've had relationships before where it wasn't dependent upon that. And if it was, I ended it. Because if someone's connection with me, if someone's caring for me, it's dependent upon me having sex with them. I have to have sex with them for this relationship to continue. That's not a relationship I want to continue. Nor if I got married and someone said, you know, this isn't working out because, you know, our sexual chemistry. And I don't think you should wait till marriage. I think marriage is trivial compared to love. And so it's something.
Well,
see,
let me stop you right there, young brother. Number one, you're a baby, man. I mean, I'm sure you feel like you're mature, but you got a lot more experience in life to go.
Age is a number.
I'm literally over double your age. But I respect the fact that you are celibate and you're waiting until marriage, and that's good for you. I'm not going to say any of what you said is bad for you. The only thing I am challenging in a lot of the things you're saying is that you're almost implying that everybody should be like you, and that's where I'm having a debate. That what's working for you, obviously, is working for you, but that's not going to work for everybody. That's not going to work for everybody. And, you know, I know people who have been, I just talked about a woman, she was celibate. You can't say that celibacy makes a relationship work, because this woman was celibate with this guy until she got married, and her relationship still failed. Her marriage still failed. And I've known other people who waited until marriage and did still fail, sometimes because of the sex, other times because of maybe one or two other reasons. So, yeah, that's the only thing I'm disagreeing with. You made a lot of valid things. It's not like you've been saying some crazy stuff. I mean, you've made a lot of valid points, but I'm just saying that not every man is going to choose to live their life like you and going to choose to approach dating and relationships like you. But I respect the fact that what you're doing works for you, is causing you a lot of joy, and I say more power to you, but at this point, I'm going to have to actually move on with the show. But I have to quickly ask you, how did you find out about my show?
I stumbled upon it, that's all.
Stumbled upon it? Okay, well, thank you for calling in, and I am going to take a commercial. You know, my long-time listeners know I've never done that before. I've never taken a call before I start talking to my guests. Usually I wait till after I start talking to my guest, but I saw him kind of making a stink in the chat room about my comment about revenge sex, and I just went ahead and decided to take the call. So that was actually an upfront and straightforward first. But, yeah, again, you know, all of us got our own different pathway to our own level of happiness. And as long as what you're doing is not illegal and you're not violating anybody, I say do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. And I'm going to take an intermission. And when I get back, hopefully my guest is in the phone queue and I'm going to introduce him and we're going to get on with our conversation. All righty, so I'll be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I ain't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.modeone.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry,
right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Some people in my chat room were still tripping because I had a guy who was he was in my chat room and he took exception to my use of the term revenge sex. And he based on his comments, he's totally anti-casual sex. He believes sex should only take place between a husband and wife. And, you know, if that's his feeling, I'm not going to hate on that opinion. My late mother believed that. She didn't really believe in premarital sex. She believed that you should only have sex within the context of marriage. But I'm a person who's realistic. Simple as that. I'm real. And not everybody is down for waiting until marriage to have sex. There's all different types. And again, what I say is, as long as your sex is mutually consensual, both parties agree to have sex, you're not raping anybody, you're not forcing anybody, you're not drugging anybody, you're not taking advantage of a woman who's drunk, or you're not having sex with underage women, or sex with horses. You know, there was a brother that had sex with a horse. That's a whole other story. But, yeah, as long as you're not doing anything illegal or something that's a violation, I say do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. Well, I have a problem right now, and I'm hoping he calls in, but my guest is not in my phone queue. Guest, if you are in my phone queue, press the number 1. So I can see my little hand raise up, and then that lets me know you're in the phone queue if you press the number 1. But while I'm waiting for my guest, I want to see who has thoughts. Whoever heard my exchange with the listener I just had before the intermission break, press the number 1 if you want to. You got a comment about that? The whole. His comments and here's my trusty friend, my number one most loyal listener of my chat room listeners, Adrian, aka Diva 3822 39. Diva, now were you tripping when you were listening to the brother just like, you know, engage me in a debate?
Yeah, I was. Hey, how you doing?
Well, yeah, first of all, good evening. Now, you being a fellow Big Ten person, you know I'm pissed as hell that Indiana lost to Minnesota.
Yeah, you should be.
Man, what the fuck is that? At home! I could see if it was on the road, I might halfway give them a pass. They lost at the crib. But anyway, this is not a sports show. This is a dating relationship show. So now you were in the chat room, so he first started, I guess, making a big deal in the chat room, right?
Yeah, I think he's gone now. He might have got a little upset with us and left.
Yeah, he used the wrong word. He used the word I hate when brothers and sisters say conversate. I got to tell you, listeners, in case you don't know, just like ax is inappropriate when you say I axed the teacher, you never axed it. You don't want to ax the teacher because that's murder. If you pick up an axe, A-X, that's just not right.
And yeah, I had to call him out on that, too. I said, you want to talk about somebody's bad English, poor grammar, and you say conversate? Wow.
You know what's interesting about that, Adrian? Not only I've had people who were highly educated that challenged me on the word. Like, I talked about it on Facebook just about, I want to say, 2 years ago. I had a woman with a PhD was using the term conversate, and she tried to treat me like I was the dummy. She was like, that's just an abbreviation for conversation. Thank you, duh. I said, well, if that's the appropriate abbreviation, why don't you go to Webster's Dictionary and find it for me? Duh. Yeah,
right.
Man. That is people, if you're listening, particularly black people, because I don't think too many white people say that. Black people, conversate is not a word. It's converse. I conversed with him. I conversed with her. Not conversate. I know Tupac and a few other rappers have made that popular in their lyrics. I can think of a couple of Tupac songs where he used the term conversate, but that is not a word. That's just a made-up word in the black community. But yeah, he really took exception to the notion of revenge sex.
Well, it was a couple of things I had issue with him, and it wasn't even his opinion. It's just, you know, he began to challenge some people he was judging people, I felt. You know, as you said, you respect his opinion, and then he wanted to say that you were being intolerant and you shouldn't respect his opinion. At no time did I hear you even remotely sound like you were intolerant. You was just trying to have a nice, friendly debate.
Yeah.
And then, as I said in the chat room, he said he has the right to judge someone, and I can't remember the exact words, but he said, I have a right to judge a man as I have a right to judge a woman. And I said, time out. You don't have a right to judge anybody. The only person that can judge is God.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I respect his opinion, but you know the fact that he's 21. I wasn't discrediting him because he's 21. I don't know what his experiences are. I don't know what he's gone through in life. All I was trying to tell the brother is, you got a lot of life to live, God willing. And you know, life happens. Things change, and as life happens, your views may change. And he was not receptive to that.
Yeah, I have to segue. You just said something that made me think of something. You used the term God willing. And one of the things I wanted to mention at the beginning of my news and notes, there is a woman. I'm part of this, like, social networking group in Chicago. It's called the Chicago Black Professional Social Network. And a young lady, some people might have seen it on the news. It was definitely on the news in the Chicago area. I think it made a few other cities. Her name was Chantel McCoy. She died in a fire. She went back home, caught the elevator, and when it got to her floor, she didn't know that her floor was on fire. Now, people have problems with this building because, see, most modern buildings, if there's a fire, the elevator is automatically shut down. But in her building, I guess it's kind of antiquated, she went up to the 12th floor. And then there was a fire going on the floor, and some couple left their door open because they wanted their cats to survive. I have some thoughts about that, but I'm not going to express that at this point. But anyway, it's with sadness, and I extend my condolences to our family, siblings, parents, close friends. It was just a sad loss. She was young. She was only 32 years old. And I just interacted with her, you know, last fall. And some people I know just interacted with her on New Year's Eve. And anyway, you use that term, God willing, because there was this one guy. I do these forums, and I had this one guy as a panelist, and I kept trying to get him to confirm. And every time he responded to me, he says, yes, I will be there, Mr. Curry, God willing. Yes, I will be the panelist, God willing. And I said, why do you always say God willing? He said, because no day is promised to you, Mr. Curry.
That's true. No day
is promised. You could wake up tomorrow, and that would be the day that God wants you to join him. And I was like, that's true. you never know when your time is up. But anyway, going back, yeah, to the debate, brother. Yeah, you hit it on the mark. That's the problem I have with him. I don't mind debating anybody who has different viewpoints than myself, different opinions, but I really get tired of these people, and it happens a lot when it comes to the subject of dating, relationships, and sex, where people want to pass judgment on people because you're doing something that's not in line with how they would do things.
Right.
And so
Yeah, he, because he started writing me instant. You can write in the chat room. You can write private messages. He said, I want to call in now. I want to call in. Are you accepting calls or are you going to ignore me? I'm like, oh, slow down, bro. Anyway. Okay, so now let me ask you about the thing that he got. I don't know if you saw the post in the female supporters group on Facebook, which you're a part of, but my friend Edie, she had asked about the concept because she basically said that you women, y'all can't relate to that. What's your thoughts on a man engaging in revenge sex?
In revenge sex? I mean, I posted in the chat room. I've had revenge sex before.
Really?
And I think obviously more men have it than women have it because I don't know too many brothers that are going to pass up having sex with a woman. But there was a situation years ago where a man thought I was too dark. And, you know, I think I'm probably like a little caramel cocoa color, so I don't think I'm dark by any stretch of the imagination.
Dark?
Apparently I was too dark for him to engage in having sex with or have a relationship with. I ran into him again probably 4 or 5 months later out at a function, and if I have to say so myself, I was looking rather good, and dark or no dark, apparently it didn't matter to him at that point, and we ended up having sex, and he became a lightweight stalker after that.
Wow.
So I don't agree with the notion that women cannot have revenge sex. I think we can, but clearly there's more opportunities for men to have it than women.
Well, I guess the reason why I kind of was lightheartedly joking that a woman probably wouldn't engage in because a lot of women, if they decide to have sex with a man, most women wouldn't even look at that as revenge because they'd be like, well, shoot, this guy get ready to get some of my sex. So how am I? But whereas men, they do look at it like that. They look at it as like, okay, if you blew me off in January, but now it's August and I'm between your legs, then yeah, I'm gonna take advantage of that, and I'm gonna get you back for ignoring me or for acting like a bitch towards me. Like I had a friend, he had an episode where it was his boss. His boss like was just a real bitch towards him, man. His boss, and I think a few months later he ended up fucking her, and so he took advantage of that, and he considered that revenge sex, which it would be.
Well, I thought the best revenge was that I just didn't talk to him anymore. You know, you want to make all these excuses why you can't, because, I mean, and that was just completely superficial because I'm too dark. And, you know, I've never been one to get caught up on the light skin, dark skin thing. But as I said, I am by no stretch of the imagination what one would consider dark, probably more like a Gabrielle Union. She's probably the closest to my skin tone, which I don't know too many people that would say she's dark.
And I think you're lighter than her.
I very well could be. So to me, that was very superficial. So, you know, I don't know if me being too dark meant that my sex wasn't going to be good. I don't know what it was, but I hate to say this as a woman. You know, people will probably judge me, but it gave me great pleasure after having sex with him to prove him wrong, and then he become a stalker like he couldn't get enough of it. No, I don't have anything to say to you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Adrian was slapping his ass. Say my name. Say my name. Adrian, say it again. Adrian, say it again. Say it in Spanish. Woo, okay. That's cool. Until my guests, listeners, I have to apologize. I don't know what happened to my. I'm hoping everything's okay because sometimes I tended to assume that somebody was blowing me off or forgot about me. But in at least two or three cases, I've had guests that had emergencies come up. But my guest is not in the phone queue, so which means I'm gonna have to kind of just. On the fly, turn this into one of my infamous open discussion forums, which if you're a new listener, you know, see, for me, probably 85-90% of the time, I have guests on the show. I have usually a book author, some type of dating and relationship expert. But I'd say about 10-15% of the time, I have shows where there's no particular guest. I just have an open discussion forum. And You know, I usually try to pick a topic that I feel is going to have strong opinions on both sides. So, yeah, I've already had a debate with a guy that he had strong opinions, and I came back with my own strong opinions. Okay, well, since Adrian, you got people in the chat room talking about stalking. First, let me ask you, well, I already know the answer that you've been stalked. Have you, and be honest, have you ever stalked a guy?
Once. But it wasn't a continual type of stalk. It was somebody that I was a little more into than he was into me. And we were at a party together, and I thought that he and I were going to be leaving to go together, and that was not the case. So I went and sat outside his apartment that night to see if he was coming home, and he did.
Well,
outside of that, no, I ain't really had no stalking where I'm just sitting outside calling you, waiting for you, emailing you, texting you. No, I've never done that.
Yeah, because I think I talked about it at least once, if not twice, on one of my past shows. I've been stalked at least, I want to say, 6 or 7 times in my life. The worst was interesting, was a woman who was already in a relationship. Her significant other was in the armed services. He was in another city. And, yeah, this woman started stalking the shit out of me for about 6-7 months. It got so bad, me and my brother were living together, he was going to call the police on her ass. And he wasn't even directly involved. But, yeah, she was literally as close to Glenn Close's character. I actually think she suffered from the same ailment, which would be Glenn Close's character in Fatal Attraction suffered from what's known as borderline personality disorder. There's 11, I had a show on this, if you go back in my archives, about personality disorders. There's a total of 11 of them based on, you know, whatever this psychiatric association is. There's 11 different personality disorders, and one of the most common is borderline personality disorder. And I think there was like something like 11 or 12 specific criteria. And I want to say this woman who stalked me, she had at minimum about 9 or 10 out of those, the 12 criteria. Stalking is, you know, and it's funny. My friend reminds me, I once made one of the dumbest comments. I actually said once, I think I was a freshman in college, I said, I would love for somebody to stalk me. My friend said, what? I said, yeah, man, I think that would be cool to have, like, a woman just so obsessed with me to the point where she thinks about me all day, all night, you know, wants to get a poster of me. And I was just thinking purely from an egotistical perspective until that shit actually happened. And it's like, oh, shit. So, yeah, man, if you ever think about somebody, you want somebody to stalk you, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's not, I mean, no. Mm-mm. Calling your crib at 2 and 3 in the morning. Adrian, hold on, because I might get your opinion on a few other things. I might be jumping all over the place, but I see couple other phones. If you have a comment right now and you're in my phone queue, press the number 1. The number 1. That's when I know. Otherwise, I'll assume you're just listening. Because, see, when you press the number 1, there's like a little, you know, little hand that comes up and lets me know that you want to talk. Area code 267. 267. What's your name? 267. Not
hello.
There.
Yes.
Hello?
Here.
What's your name?
Skidkita.
Shakita?
No, Skid, like, you know how you slide? Skidkita.
Oh. Okay. You got any comments you want to contribute, or are you just listening?
Well, yeah, I got a few comments I want to contribute. I heard that caller before. I have a radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and he actually called my radio show, and we actually debated about the same exact thing you're talking about on your show now, and it sideways. He thought, like, he got me off guard. Like, he actually tackled, like, a few things. Like, he was like, well, I don't have sex, and I was like, okay, why don't you have sex? And then, like he said to you before he mentioned that, you know what, people in relationships shouldn't have sex, you know, all that love and all that bullcrap. So now I know I'm dumbfounded at the end of it. And I've seen his side and tried to agree with him. And, you know, he mentioned something about race and ethnicity. And after everything was said and done and I was left sideways and dumbfounded by the end of the show in a conversation, I'm looking like, okay. I mean, something, like she said before, something must have happened to him in order for him to withdraw from sex. Because, I mean, you're 21 years old. He's either a virgin. And you know what? I think he mentioned to me before, he said he's not a virgin, so he had to have some sex somewhere down the line in his life. He just decided to stop. So something had to happen to this caller in order for him to withdraw from sex, period, and just not have it. I mean, it's a great thing if he believes in not having sex until marriage, or at least until he figures he's in love. But if he doesn't believe in marriage and he believes that you have to be in love in order to have sex, and he's not in a relationship, then something's wrong there. Something's wrong. It's a lot of, you know, vagueness going on there. It's just something left unsaid. It's just like a little hole in this story. So if he was on right now, I want to ask him a question. I asked him before, was he gay? He said no. So I'm like, okay, if you're not gay, you're not in a relationship, and you're not in love, and you don't believe in marriage, you're not having sex, I mean, you're not a virgin. So, I mean, what's going on there? I mean, you do get urges from time to time, and you just want to either jack off or have sex, right? Then the revenge sex come into play. I mean, sex is sex. Hell, if you don't feel like jacking off, go outside and pick up a hooker and have sex to her. I mean, like you said, if no one's dying, no one's getting robbed, no one's getting killed, then, hey, have sex. I mean, as long as no one's feelings getting hurt, I mean, sex doesn't hurt unless you're hurting someone.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with just about everything you said. It just cracks me up when people, and I've gotten this from both men and women, about this notion that if you're engaging in casual sex, that somehow means you haven't matured yet. And there, to me, there's no connection between casual sex and your level of maturity.
I think that's the whole brainwashed stereotype. That's a control mechanism that one uses when they're hating or they're jealous because of the fact that they got played, because of the fact that they got used for revenge sex. So they use that whole, oh, he's not mature yet, bullcrap. Everyone is mature when they decide that they need to take into their own hands the decisions that they make. So, I mean, pretty much if he's not happy with the decision that one makes, stop having casual sex with someone who you know is not ready for a relationship.
There you go. There you go. So, well, all right. Now, what type of show do you do? What's the subject matter? Is it dating relationships?
Oh,
or something?
I have random subjects. It could just be a whole random. If I have a bad day, I would just, boom, put on the radio show and be like, you know what? This would happen at work today. I hate when haters hate. It's just random shows. I don't have, like, shows about, I don't talk about relationships that much because I'm not in one. It's not that I don't choose to be in one. It's just the fact that I haven't found a right one yet. I haven't found a relationship that's, you know, weird enough to stand my weirdness. I'm weird. Like, I'm not like other people. Like, I do shit just random. I'm a random person, and people don't understand that. Like, they don't know how to, you know, take me yet. They see somebody who's random and speak their mind and do shit when they feel like doing it. They be like, oh, no, I can't, you know, be with somebody or around somebody like this who is just too random. She's too expressive. She expresses herself when expressed and do when she feels like it. I can't do that. So... that's
and what would I put in Blog Talk Radio to find your show? What skeet? What now?
Skid. Skid, like you know, spell skid.
Okay, skid, and then what's the next word?
Kita, like you said before earlier, Kita.
Kita, like K I T A.
Kita, K E E D A. Kita.
K E E T A.
No D, like
D.
Dog. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna look for you.
And you had stalker.
You said what?
You had somebody stalking you.
Did Did I have somebody what?
Stalked you. You mentioned before you answered my call that somebody stalked you.
Oh, yeah. Right. I had a real... I've had a few. I've had as many as... I'd say starting with college up until now, I've probably had about six, as many as seven different women who, to one degree or another, starting. I'm just not talking about, you know, they had an enthusiastic interest or they were kind of sort of, so I'm talking about, like, when I say stalking, I'm talking about when people do things like repeatedly call you after you've told them not to call you. They show up places where they know you're going to be at. They follow you places. That type of thing. Yeah, and the worst I had was in Bloomington, Indiana in the mid-90s. I had this woman who was in a relationship. Matter of fact, two of my stalkers were women who were, they already had a man.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman, she had a man, but he was out of town because he was in the armed services. And, well, I might as well tell the whole story. What happened was I met her. And she was very attractive, very attractive. And see, some men, I remember I heard this guy, stereotype stalker, he said that he thought stalkers were just all, you know, ugly women.
Yeah,
I was like, oh,
too.
That is so not true. That is so not true. There are attractive people, both male and female. Attractive people stalk. Attractive people stalk, too, because this woman was, she was a looker. And I met her, and I even met her mother. And I got my degree, my undergraduate degree is in economics. And so what happened, her mother suggested that I become her economics tutor, which I did. And during one of the tutoring sessions, I'm over her house, and she was assertive. You know, most people think of men making the first move. But she said, Alan, if you excuse me, I'll be right back. I'm thinking, you know, she's just going to use the bathroom. And she comes back out with just her bra and panties on. Basically, like, I'm ready to fuck.
I would have ran. Like, I would have got up and just ran.
I was like, wow, okay. So I said, I was hesitant because I had seen some pictures with this guy that was hugging her and about... who ended up actually being, you know, her man. But she ended up lying to me and saying that that was her brother. And my naive ass went for it. I said, oh, that's your brother? She said, yeah, that's my brother, silly.
Mm.
So we ended up fucking.
Mm.
And, of course, but I fucked her because I thought she was single. And she left me in her apartment one day, and that's when I ended up finding out that, yeah, she was already hooked up. And so I told her, you know, oh, you know, you hooked up. I can't see you. And I thought she would be like, oh, okay, you know, no big deal. And from that point, when I told her, tried to break it off, that's when she started stalking me. She would call me like 2 to 3 times a day, every day. She would follow me from my job. I would go to, like, the grocery store. She would be there. I go to, like, some way-out shoe store, clothing store. She would be there. It was just, I mean, it was bad. It got to a point, like, like I said earlier, my brother, he wasn't even directly involved, but me and him were roommates at the time. He was irritated by it. He was like, dude, I'm going to call the police on this bag, man. She's just crazy. And yeah, I've had a few others. I don't think I've had any other that were quite as bad as her, but... yeah, I've had a few others, so, yeah, I think part of what contributes to it, like this woman even admitted it, I mentioned she was attractive. She was not used to being turned down. And I actually read in this article, it said that's one of the things that will cause some men and women to stop, is when they're not used to being rejected. So, yeah, people with healthy egos tend to actually be more likely to stalk than people who, say, have... like, a lot of people tend to assume if you stalk, it means you have low self-esteem and low opinion of yourself. No, a lot of times it's just the opposite. When you have a high opinion of yourself, you tend to stalk, because when somebody rejects you, you tend to feel like, well, shit, do you know who I am? Shit, I ain't never been rejected before.
I hate that. You know what? I think ugly people got a high self-esteem for a poor reason. Because I'm like, I don't want to be rude and tell you you're ugly. I'm going to just mace your ass and then kick you in the nuts and call the cops. And be like, yo, he's stalking me. Get his ass. Get him. Get him now. Get him out of my face. Because you know what? Like, it ain't going to work. Like, I have dudes, like, follow me home. They follow me home 9-10 blocks from where I work, 20 blocks. Like you said, if I go to a shoot outlet somewhere in the King of Prussia, hell, I'm thinking about going to California. Somebody calls me up, and I said, how'd you get this number? He said, oh, well, the information on the internet is legal. So I'm like, okay. Like, crazy. Like, why are you stalking me? I'm like, you're ugly. Stop stalking me. And you're too old for me. Dude is like probably like 42. He was stalking me since he was in his 30s. I'm like, you creepy, first of all. And you're not even attractive. So stop stalking me. And I'm not even your type. I'm half your age. And first of all, just stop stalking me. Like, I don't know. He brags a lot, which are, in my opinion, are lies. I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. I mean, if you have to stalk somebody who's half your age and don't have a life, and you go on a computer and people search them and do background checks and find out their information and their phone number just to call them, on their new phone number under a private number, under a private cell phone company. Like, you are a whole stalker. Like, that's just wrong. Like, you know what? Yo, I was just mentally, like, I had a little, you know, temporary mental illness because of that. He really just messed my head up. Like, he was just to the, I was having nightmares, yo. You don't believe. I was scared to go back to work because he lives in an area. I seen him one day when I was at work. I looked up, and I haven't seen him. I quit that very next day, and that was 3 years ago. I have never worked in a city I live in to this day. I said, no, won't do it.
Wow. Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling, Skitch. I've now checked out your page. It just says Ranting Chick. That's funny. Ranting Chick. But, yeah, I'm going to have to check out your show. And I appreciate you listening to my show and contributing to the conversation. And Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
I'm going to take an intermission break right now, but I see some other people have pushed the button, the number one button in my phone queue. So I'm going to find out what you want to talk about, and we will continue the conversation. I still don't see my guests in my phone queue, so something must have happened, so I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to take this intermission break, and I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously, and you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Bang. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous. Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist. So I'm getting treated for
my sex disease. This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Vocal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Ain't you a little wet behind the ears to be running your mouth for? You don't really want me to run in your house.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Oh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my interview with up-and-coming writer and former entertainment industry bodyguard Byron Williams on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. Here's the deal. We were supposed to be talking tonight with Byron Williams, who is Eminem's former bodyguard, the rapper Eminem, his former bodyguard, and we were going to be talking about From Womanizer to Husband. He wrote a book about called Womanizer. Excuse me, I've got the hiccups all of a sudden. That's the worst thing you do, be a talk radio host and get the hiccups. He got a book called Womanizer, The Uncomfortable Truth About Man, Marriage, and Womanizing. And I know my friend Adrian, who you heard earlier, she would love that because he uses the word the, as like Adrian and all her fellow alumnus of Ohio State, they say the Ohio State University, not just the Ohio State, the Ohio State University. I'm going to start saying the up front is straightforward with Alan Roger Curry Show. That's right. Not just the up front, but the up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry Show. Right now, I'm going to bring in my man. This is a brother who has a very popular blog that's entitled The Romance Files. And he actually interviewed me a couple times way back when on there. And he always has interesting topics. And one night he was on Twitter, and I could have swore, man, he was like my philosophical twin. It's like everything he was saying was stuff I had said in a slightly different way to different people. And so I can, you know, they say great minds thinking alike. So I'm going to bring in Neil of the Romance Files. How are you doing this evening, Neil?
All right, man. Just sitting here chilling, just listening to you. And I heard you say that your guest hadn't showed up yet or something. So I thought I'd give you a call. Now, you guys were talking about something earlier. I didn't quite get the gist of it. It was about revenge, sex, and women or something.
Yeah,
I didn't quite understand what you.
What happened, it started last week. I was interviewing a guest by the name of Jen Clark, and we were just talking about different things to do with relationships and the sexual dynamics between men and women. And I forget how I got on this set, but I was saying that a lot of men, I remember generally I was telling her, as I've told a few female guests, I said, men do not fall in love with women over good pussy. I mean, maybe every blue moon, a guy here, a guy there might. But generally speaking, man, we just don't. We're able to better separate feelings of love and romance from just sexual desire. Like, I can have sex with a woman 200 times and never feel like I'm in love with her. And so that's how it kind of started. Then it segued a few different ways. Anyway, I said, yeah, there are a lot of men that like to have revenge sex. And she said, what is that? I said, that's like, if you meet a woman, and when you first meet that woman, she either does one of these things. She either blows you off and ignores you, rejects you in a real harsh manner, comes across as a major prude, comes across as a major bitch, and then either days later, weeks later, months later, or even sometimes years later, you end up connecting with that woman again, but this time she's a little more friendly, maybe a little more flirtatious, and you're able to get in bed. But when you get in bed, you fuck the shit out of her. You like, yeah, you kind of had that attitude, like, yeah, suck this dick. You rejected me at that party. Yeah, suck this dick. And Jen, she last week, she was like, wow, I didn't know men think like that. So right after the show, I ended up having about 8 to 10 emails or Facebook messages from women saying, that is so awesome that you made it like that. I can't believe that that men do this revenge sex thing. And then this woman who's in my female supporters group in the middle of the week, she was asking about it, and then she went on to say that women would never engage in revenge sex because that's just not how they think.
Oh, no.
So... And then, now going to tonight, there was this guy in my chat room who, as I was talking about that, because I was talking about that I got a lot of feedback, and this woman in my group was making comments, and he started writing me all these private messages saying, I want to get on the air, and I want to express my opinion about this silly revenge sex thing you're talking about. You're making men look bad by suggesting that we all men engage in such childish behavior. And first of all, I didn't say all men engaged in revenge sex. I would never say that because that's not true. But there are a good number of men who do. And anyway, we kind of got into it because I was telling them and my listeners, I respect people who have opinions and viewpoints that are different from mine. But he criticized, number one, he criticized me for that. He said, why would you respect my opinion if it's different from yours? And I just felt like he was being very judgmental. And number one, I don't like when people try to say that if you indulge in casual sex, that means you're immature. What does maturity have to do with the fact that you want to fuck? I mean...
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
So that ended up being a discussion. Yeah, he just made what I felt was a lot of very judgmental comments. He ended up saying that he doesn't even engage in sex. He's practicing celibacy. He wants to wait until marriage. And I said, hey, if that works for you, more power to you, but don't suggest that everybody's going to, follow suit like you. So anyway, now that I brought you up to speak. Oh, and then was there one other thing? Oh, then the secondary topic I've been talking about tonight was just stalking. Men and women will be stalking people. So what are your thoughts on either of those topics, or you might have a thought on something totally unrelated to either of those.
Just a couple of things. I did a post a while back about, one of the least discussed reasons why women cheat. And that reason to me was revenge.
People don't really talk about that much, but women will cheat on a man who, you know, cheated on her just so she can get back at him. I don't know if you remember, probably, I don't know, sometime in the 2000s, there was this baseball player. He had a, you know, him and his wife were very well known. She was very good looking and everything, and they were always out there in, on the news and public. And she went on a TV show, I think it was Howard Stern or somewhere. She went on some show, and she said if she ever caught her husband cheating on him, on her, she would get back at him. And the way she would get back at him was that she would sleep with all of his teammates. Do you remember that?
I vaguely do.
Okay, the last name was Benson, I believe. They were a very well-known couple. He think he played for the Mets. But that inspired me to write this post about women and revenge. So as far as the women that are saying women don't do that, they do it all the time.
Well,
I mean, if a man...
You know, if you don't mind me interrupting real quick, it's funny you say that because that's what I said in my female supporters group. Like when my friend Edie said that women don't have revenge, I said, no, that's not true. I said, women probably don't have revenge sex in the exact same way that we do. Because our form of revenge sex would be, again, to fuck that woman who earlier dissed us or ignored us or whatever. But their form of there's two forms of revenge sex I've seen women do. One, as you just mentioned, is fuck one of your boys.
Right.
And secondly, is to fuck you and purposely get pregnant by you when you've already told them you didn't want to have no baby,
right.
You didn't want to get them pregnant. So they have their own form of revenge sex. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. Go ahead.
Right. I remember a while back you had a guest, Sophia Nelson. You remember?
Oh, why are you going to bring her up? Oh,
well,
man.
The reason why I bring this up, okay, is because on Twitter, it was probably sometime in the fall, last fall, she went on Twitter, and I mean, I had nothing against her. Don't get me wrong. I'm just having a conversation with you, so it's just a topic to talk about. But it really has to do with interracial relationships. And she went on Twitter, and she wrote this little piece about how more and more black women should start really aggressively going after white men or something of that nature. And I thought it was really interesting that she was doing that. And I just want to get your view. I don't know if you heard about that or not, but what do you think of that whole topic? Some of these black women, you know, intentionally going after white men, for example. What do you think of that?
I think that's, well, number one, I'll preface my kind of saying people, you know, going to do what they're going to do. But I think anytime you pursue someone specifically based on race, more often than not, it's going to prove to be a disappointing disaster.
Right.
I tell male friends that, I tell female friends that. Now, it's one thing if you connect with somebody and they just happen to be white or happen to be Asian, happen to be another race, that's one thing. You know, but if you go out saying, I'm going to look for a white woman, or I'm going to look for a white man, or I'm going to look for a Hispanic person, whatever, I mean, your main criteria is just their ethnicity. I've never seen that really work out for the best in the long run. There might be a handful of exceptions, but generally, that just doesn't work out. So I think if a black woman happens to, you know, cross paths with a white guy and she's attracted to him and they start dating, you know, so be it. But I think if she has one of those attitudes like, well, I'm going to start dating white men because all black men ain't shit, then that's going to backfire on her. That's going to backfire.
Yeah, I agree. Because there was this video I had on my site. I don't know, it's not up anymore, but a black lady went on YouTube. I don't know if you saw this. And she was just telling white men, say, look, why won't you date us? You know, we're this, this, and this. You know, black men are doing this. Come on, white men. Why don't you come with us? Some of that nature. And I was like, wow, it's getting that bad out there. It's just unbelievable what's going on out here.
You know, I had this woman, Neil, that I had to say, man, she got me turned on because we were talking and we got to talk about interracial relationships. And she asked me in this really soft, sexy voice. She said, Alan, she said, why don't brothers want to fuck us anymore? The way, I never had a woman ask me that question like that. I had women say, why don't they want to date us anymore? But she said, why don't brothers want to fuck us anymore? And I was like, shit, I'm still fucking sister. What are you talking about? Yeah, I was just on the show, Dr. I don't know if you're familiar with a woman named Dr. Veronica Anderson. She had a show about when you date a white person, do you feel like that enhances your, like, status? Like, is that more of a trophy?
Right.
And my response was no, because most men I know, when you talk about the concept of a trophy girlfriend, trophy wife, that's more about looks than it is about race.
Right.
You know, most guys, when they want a trophy, they just want a fine-ass woman. They don't really care what race she is. They just, I mean, because if a brother dates a ugly white woman with three teeth in her mouth, that ain't no trophy. It ain't nobody looking like, damn, I wish I was him, man.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So what's been in, say, the last, I don't know, 3 to 6 months, what's been the biggest hot-button topic you've had on your blog, The Romans Fall, where you had either women tripping out the yin-yang, or men tripping out the yin-yang, or a little bit of both?
Oh, God, man. The last 6 months, I'm just running. I mean, there's not one. There was a couple that kind of stood out. I mean, I had something where I posted about, you know, dealing with gold diggers. I don't know if you saw that. There was a couple of one. Hold on 1 second. I'm looking. There was a couple of other ones that kind of got some, you know, I got some heat for, you know, that I, did I be put out there. But I talk about a lot of things that are happening, you know, that I see happening right away. I talked about gold digging, men becoming women.
That sounds controversial. Now, you know,
yeah.
You're going to have to elaborate on that. Men becoming women.
Yeah, just men acting like women these days. I mean, they being like you said earlier, some guy wrote a book about being a pussy. I mean, that's what men are being today. I just kind of expounded on that because I see it all the time. And I just kind of went to town on, you know, guys that are acting like females and not being masculine and, you know, staying home and taking care of the baby. They're comfortable with that. Now, there was some kind of poll that was done not too long ago about men are comfortable with being Mr. Mom now. They're okay with the woman going out there and making all the money and they being home and taking care of babies. And my thing is, what woman wants to come home to a man like that? You've been home all day, all you're doing is taking care of the babies, cooking dinners and cooking meals and stuff, and you're going to deal with a man like that? It's just not going to work. So I meet a lot of women here in Vegas that are, you know, very attractive. You know, they have power, you know, come here for conventions, and they are, when I bring up the subject of marriage, they're like, it really kicks them in the stomach almost. It's like a lot of these women marry their friends. You know, they're good guys. They trust them. But they're not really masculine. You know what I mean? So when they come to Vegas, you know, they come here for business. You know, they say all the right things. But in reality, they're hoping to find something else. So I'll just leave it at that.
Well, I'm going to bring back in my friend Adrian because she said something must have caught her ear. Because she's like, let me back in. I want to talk. Speaking of Vegas, I want to tell my listeners, it's not 100% confirmed, so I guess I shouldn't mention. But it's at the, like, 98% level. But, you know, I did a direct dating summit in London in November 2010, where they're going to have a direct dating summit here in the United States in mid-March. The weekend, I want to say, what's that, the 16th, and 17th, 17th, 18th of March. And I will be in Vegas speaking, so I will give you more details as I know more details. But, Adrian, what's your sassy ass got to say about something we talked about?
Okay, see. First of all, your female women impression voice, you got to stop that.
You know, somebody was just teasing me about that like 2 days ago. They said, Alan, you be killing me when you do female voices on your show. Now, actually, I've had a couple people say I'm really, I don't know if that's a compliment or should have me worried that I do it almost too well. But yeah, no, this woman, she did say that to me. She said, why do you brothers, why don't you want to fuck us anymore? And I was like, oh, say it again. But anyway, what comment or caught your ear that you wanted to have a rebuttal to?
Well, going back to that black women dating white men thing, I guess I'm trying to figure out what the issue is, because if black men are not available for us to date, and I'm not going to get into that whole argument, why shouldn't we go date white men?
Oh, I didn't say that y'all shouldn't. I don't know too many brothers that would say that black women shouldn't. But what me and Neil were just talking about, what I'm critical of, though, is if a black woman was to specifically say, I need to find me a white man, I don't think that's going to work out for her. I really don't. I don't think, I say that about men, too. I think if you're a man and you go out looking specifically for a white woman, I mean, that's just, to me, anytime you go out looking for a woman for just one thing, in the long run, you're going to be disappointed.
Well, I mean,
then what would be the difference in a black man stating that, okay, I just want to go out, I want to be with a black woman, and that's what I want to be with?
Let's not get it confused, okay? The thing is, like where I live, I live in Vegas. So, I mean, there are black people here, there are black women here, but I don't see that many of them. So when I go out, I'm mainly dealing with white women, you know, Asian women, and Hispanic women, okay? So it's just natural for me to be in that environment that I'm going to be involved with women like that, because that's all I'm around. Like, you take a brother who works on Wall Street, okay? He's going to be around a lot of white women. There's not going to be too many black women he's going to come across. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, the thing with what Sophia was saying is that she's saying we should actually go out and say it. Like, with brothers, we don't do that. We pursue women in general because we just want women. And there are some knuckleheads that say, you know, black women are this, black women are that, so I'm going to just go with going after white women. But what they were saying, what these black women were saying, what Sophia was saying in her article was that they should purposely market themselves to white men like that's going to change their whole world. She gave an example of her being involved with some white guy that was treating her like a queen and treating her well. And then at the same time, there was this black guy she was dealing with who just wouldn't, quote-unquote, man up. You know what I mean? He kept dragging her along as if he liked her and he was interested in her. So what happened was she decided to go with the black guy, you know, pursue something with him. And then once she tried to pursue something with him, he just kind of disappeared, or he wasn't interested. He kind of pulled away. And so that kind of ticked her off. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. But you know why?
So that's the kind of scenario that I was talking about.
Okay. But do you all know why black women date white men?
Why? You enlighten us, Adrian.
Yeah, tell us that.
Black women date white men for two reasons. They got good credit, and they can lick a clit.
Right.
I knew that second reason was coming.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny that we're similar in that regard, because a lot of brothers, if you heard me, matter of fact, just last week I told my guest Jen that. A lot of brothers, that's one of their main reasons for messing around with white women, is that they a lot of brothers feel like white women suck dick better than, and I'll say even myself, as a group, I mean, I've had individual sisters that might have sucked my dick better than an individual white woman, but if I was rating them as a group, man, shoot, sisters could get mad at me all they want to, but white women, man, they know how to suck a dick.
They do pretty much anything you tell them. I hate to say that, but
right, and that's why y'all date them, because they'll do anything you tell them.
Well, it's not really that. There's a problem, okay? I'm not going to stereotype. I'm not necessarily all black women, but there's a problem with black women using the word submit or wanting to submit to their men. Like,
I agree with that.
I agree. I'm glad you did, because that was like an example. I was working with at this company, and I was working with this Latina girl, and she was married to a black man. And she always talked about her husband this or husband that. I'm like, damn, you must really love your husband, don't you? She's like, oh, yeah, he's the king. He's the head of the household. She was saying all the things that a lot of black men that got their stuff together feel about the way their relationship with women should be. Okay, I'm the king of the household. It doesn't matter. You make this, you make that. You can make as much as Oprah. It doesn't matter. I'm still the man of the house. You know what I'm saying? So she had that real attitude. I was like, damn. Now she's really into that stuff. I would say, so if more black women were like that, doesn't matter how much money you make, Doesn't matter where you come from. If you just have more of that attitude, I mean, that will make you a weak person. And a lot of women don't understand that. They feel they got to let it go. They got to let it market themselves. They got to make it a badge of honor to say, I'm this, I'm that. And it's just a turnoff to men. So you got to be more subtle, and you got to be a little bit more humble about things. If you really want to be a wife, if you want to be a wife to a man of your own race, then why don't you, it's give and take. I mean, you got to be willing to give a little. It doesn't mean you're a weak person, because the bottom line is, if it doesn't work out, you know in your heart, you knew deep down that you're going to be okay, because you have your own money, you got your own assets, you know you're going to be okay. So why bring it to the table? Why throw it up in a man's face just to turn him off? And that's what a lot of black women are doing.
Well, I agree with you, and I actually was having this conversation with someone yesterday that, you know, sometimes black women don't know when just to shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
And I know I'm going to get a lot of criticisms from some sisters that listen to this, and Alan, if you get any feedback, please let me know. But I unfortunately heard a very intense argument between two people very close to me. I was accidentally called on the cell phone, and I'm hearing these two people go at it at 6:30 in the morning, and they were in the car, and I heard their children crying in the background, and I was listening to her, and she just kept egging him on, and I just sat there and prayed to God that he didn't hit her. And I so understand why black men get pushed to that point. I do not condone any man hitting a woman, but after that conversation, actually that wasn't even a conversation, after I heard that exchange yesterday, I get it, and I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, why don't you just shut the fuck up? And they're married. And just do what you need to do to get through this. Just be quiet. So I agree that a lot of black women have a major, major issue with the word submit. They don't truly understand what the word means in a biblical sense or Webster's dictionary sense. They think it needs to mean slave, and that's not what it's meant to be. I don't know that necessarily white women or Latina women get the whole submit thing any better. However, I will say that they – for whatever reason, they have a much more better understanding of how to get along in their relationships than black women do. You're right, black women feel like they have to prove something, and we don't.
Right, yeah, because I met this woman, a black woman, and very good looking, very attractive, and, you know, we would kind of, you know, we would see each other every once in a while at different events, and we would be talking, and we ran into each other at this major event on one weekend, and, you know, we got to talking, she had a girls with her. And I don't remember what was said, because I was drinking so much wine, but I know I said something about just, you know, give me a hug goodbye or something. And she said the most ridiculous thing that any woman could ever say. She said that she doesn't hug. And I'm like, what? What kind of crap is that?
She
doesn't hug. She said, I don't hug. I'm like, why would you say some shit like that? That's just crazy. And it kind of gave me an idea of what kind of mentality she really had.
Well, maybe not. Maybe there was something in her childhood that you don't know what happened. And
yeah,
she,
but come on now. Okay, fine. I understand that. But what are you saying then? You'd never be able to hug anybody because of it? I mean, that's fine. I understand. So you could have just said something like, you know what? You know, I've seen you a few times. I think you're cool. We don't know each other that well. I don't start hugging until I get to know you a little bit better. Or something like that. Why not just say that instead of just I don't hug? Because I got a whole other view of her. Now when I see her, I don't really want to talk to her. And the funny thing about that is now she wants to talk to me, and I'm like, I don't know.
But,
if I want to
you know, that's
wrong
not
with
necessarily
that.
Fair. You've prejudged her without knowing. If you
no,
talk
I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I did not. I did
her
not prejudge
and you get to
her.
Know her and find out something did happen in her past that causes her to do that. Then
yeah,
I mean, I don't necessarily think that's fair. And just because she didn't respond the way you thought she should respond, that's not right.
Yeah, but. Come on, what could have happened that
and
she
that's just
somebody
like
somebody blew up?
Raped and she doesn't want to have sex anymore, and you were in conversation and she says, I don't have sex. You have no idea what the history was of that as to why she
well,
said
that's,
she
to me,
sex.
To me, that's a totally different thing. I just said a hug.
Right, but
look,
you don't know what happened
hug.
To her. If anything happened to her, you don't know what's happened to her in her previous life as a child to make her get that way. It's just like the brother that called earlier. Something must have happened to him for him to have the views that he has on sex and why he feels the way that he does. I think everybody
yeah, well,
in the chat room felt that way. At 21, something happened to this brother for him to feel that way.
Yeah,
and
well,
you
I don't think that was the case with her. I think she just had a mentality, and she's not the only one. She just has a mentality, oh, I don't hug. I mean, it's like a rule repellent to men. at the same time, she wants to come across as being friendly and talking. Because when I first met her, it was her and a friend that came at the table I was at. And we just started talking, you know, kind of talk about dating and really, I kind of brought up the subject. And she had a real, you know, negative attitude about men, a real hardcore, the typical masculine female energy that is going around these days. Okay, and that's why I kind of did what I did. I decided to ignore her from that point on because she gave me that thing when I first met her. I tried to give her a second chance, but she kept consistent with it. So it made me think that's what she really thinks. And that's what a lot of these sisters think. I mean, they want to go out. They want to go out to a place where you can have fun. And all they do all night is sit there and judge you while you're talking to all these non-black women. And they're just sitting there, and you try to talk to them, they have an attitude.
I agree, but I also think that there's some things going on, whether it's through conversations, whether it's through, and I'm not justifying it, but I'm just giving some reasons why I've seen
it. That's what it sounds like.
No, I'm not justifying it because I don't think anybody should sit there and judge you because that's who you want to be with. I do agree that we should not make statements that you don't. I don't like when black men say, I don't date black women because... And run down a list of things. You're going to love who you love, and whoever you decide to be with
right.
is on you, and that's not for me to judge. But there are some women, there is a segment of the population that have been raised by other black women who got issues, and this is what they grow up around. We see it.
And that's a large number, unfortunately.
They become products of their environment, just like, you know, white people when they're products of their environment and they grow up to become racist. So, there is a small segment of the population that's like that. There are some black women out there who are just evil and hateful, period, who fit the mold that you are describing. But I think before, and I don't know, I wasn't in that scenario. You were there. You have a better call to judge it. And if you think that that's just the way she was, then I respect that opinion because I wasn't there. But I think before we start judging, we should probably find out a little bit more, if we can, about that person and their background to see what the basis of why they feel the way that they do.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but that's not really – I don't think that was really the issue. I think it was just she was playing that role of the black woman. And I hate to say it, but unfortunately these days that tends to be more of a negative villainous role, like you're the bad guy.
I hate that because all my sisters aren't like that. I'm not like that.
I know they aren't. I know they aren't. But the thing is, a lot of women are taking that attitude. Even though they're not that way, when they go out, they tend to want to develop that attitude, okay? And I'm just saying, why do that? I mean, why sit here and complain, and then when you're out in public, you have a chance to interact with other black men that, you know, have something going on about themselves, and then you brush off these same negative stereotypes all the time. It just really pisses me off when I see that.
You're right, and, you know, shows like Basketball Wives and all the Real Housewives all over the country, those shows don't help our case in
any way. No, they don't help at all.
They don't help at all. I don't watch it.
I've
watched, I think, maybe all of them once just because I wanted to see, and they just confirmed that it's just bullshit on TV, and it's really, it's putting black women in a much more negative situation.
What show is this?
We're in.
You said what show?
Oh, the Housewives show, Basketball Wives, the Real House.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch none of that shit.
It really, black women already have a very bad reputation as we just had the interchange, but those shows are just taking us to a whole new level that I just don't like.
And so that's what Sophia is trying to say in her book, you know, Black Women Redefined. That's because she was on ABC News last night. But they were talking about Michelle Obama, how she has an image of being an angry black woman. They were trying to stereotype her as being an angry black woman.
That's just Sophia.
Yeah, Sophia was up there last night, and they had a brief segment, and she wrote a book about how Michelle Obama was actually helping change the image of black women. That's what the whole idea was about.
Right, but Alan,
now,
is that your Sophia?
Huh?
Oh, yeah, he's talking about same as Sophia, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure we were talking about
Why you got to call her my Sophia? Don't, please don't.
Well, I just wanted to make sure it was the same Sophia, and I knew that you, if I said it that way, you would understand.
Yeah, it's the same one.
Okay.
Now Michelle Obama's on Twitter now. I guess she's trying to push that new image or whatever they're trying to, you know, go against her and everything. But yeah, I just think it's really messed up out here. And like I said, now there's this little movement among black women where they actually begging white men to take them. And I'm like, you guys have no idea what you're in store for. There was this woman I met here in Vegas. And the first thing she said to me was, you know, I don't mess with black men, blah, 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 blah. I only date Asian guys. And all I got to do is sit here and read her Facebook, and I see that she's having nothing but problems with these Asian guys because Asian
people in general don't see black women the same way.
No, they don't.
They don't see it. And she didn't understand that. She's always whining, things about going on. I'm like, God, don't you understand? I mean, and this girl was in the military. I was like, don't you get it? Don't you know how they really feel about you? So, I mean, and that woman, I knew as soon as she said that to me, she was going to regret it. I knew she was going to pay the price for that. And she's definitely paying now. So I just hate to see that when it's really not necessary. Because just because you have a bad experience with somebody doesn't mean the whole race is that way. I mean, God, if we start doing that, we're really going to be messed up.
I don't like the whole angry black woman syndrome. And, I mean, obviously I don't know her personally. I've met Michelle Obama, but I just did not get that vibe for her from her. And my My guess is if she's being an angry black woman, somebody has pushed her into a corner where she needs to be an angry black woman.
Yeah, I don't
care about her. I have to put you guys on hold for a second because I got other people now in my phone queue that want to talk. So let me see. Hold on, Neil and Adrian, but I'm going to bring in, okay, 510, who's this?
Hi, this is Marcia Allen. I have to apologize. I called earlier, but someone didn't know I was on my Bluetooth, and they kept interrupting and talking to me, and then I just hung up, so I called back.
Oh, okay,
I enjoy your show.
Thank you, Marcia.
But listen, the guy you have talking, he sounds like a nice man, but he sounds a little insecure to me.
No, Neil ain't insecure. Neil is a real cool brother. He got a blog called The Romance Files, which is a really popular blog. He has very interesting discussion topics, but I don't know him in person, but I would never categorize Neil. He's just a man with strong opinions, and, you know. What's your definition, Marcia, of insecure?
Well, you know, the reason I say that is because he hits to, it seems like, prejudge and miscast black women. Like, he talked about the woman not wanting to hug him. I don't hug strange men either. And I'm going to be honest, and I don't shake their hands, okay, because I don't know if they wash their hands or not. Like, a lot of them don't. But they're quick to extend their hands wanting you to shake them. And I find that really in this age with all these germs going around, I don't think so. So I think it's his tone of voice.
Here's my thing. I think hugging is overrated. I think I should just be able to meet a woman, and we just start tongue kissing, and we start fucking. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think so.
Get through that hugging shit. That hugging, that's for when you at the fellowship after church. You hug everybody. But I'm about, hey, what's your name? Linda, what's yours? Alan. And then we just start tongue kissing, and we just start fucking. And she just, you know, I'm like,
well,
hey.
I don't think, you know, that's how you roll. That's cool. Not everybody is into that kind of a lifestyle. I'm not one, but I'm not judging you on yours.
Okay, now say for me, say, Alan, you love to fuck, don't you?
I can't go there.
You proved you. Okay, now at least give me a mode one. Say mode one.
Mode one.
Now that was too quick. You just stretch out the mode, girl. Say mode one.
Well, listen, Alan, seriously.
No, I'm serious. You got to say mode one.
Okay, but can I make my other point today?
After you say mode one, you can make your point.
Mode one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Getting up front and straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
No one.
See, Marcia, you one of them sisters that Neil was just talking about. You don't want to submit. I had to, like, damn near beg you to say
mode one. I hate that word. I hate it with a passion.
You hate the word submit with a passion?
No, I hate that word, submit.
Why?
Because, you know, it's why, because, and I've had experience, too, in the past where that's been used to like try and dominate and control and kind of brainwash and subjugate. So I think because of how it's been perceived and how it's been misused, there's a lot of men you'd be a fool to submit to. And
well, I won't argue with that. There's some men that, you aren't worth submitting to.
And,
but that's a man you shouldn't be with. But when you're with the right brother or the right man, you should submit, particularly within the context of eroticism. Now, you know,
I agree with that, but if it's with the right man. But I think so many have been with the non-right men that they just don't even want to go that way. So they have a defensive shield up, and they should. You can't trust everyone, and you should not. And you have to let people prove themselves to be who they really are. So you don't submit to a foe. You don't submit to someone you don't trust. You don't submit to a weak man.
I agree with that. You can't submit to a weak man. That's almost like an oxymoron. I mean, I don't even see how a woman that conceptually, you just can't do that. You can only really submit to a guy who got backbone and
who you respect.
Yeah. So
who you respect and who you trust.
Who you respect
now,
and who
you
trust.
What percent of men? What percent of men would you place in that category?
That are worthy of respect and trust?
Right.
Oh, I don't know. That would be hard for me to say. I agree with one thing that Neil said earlier. I agree with is that in this day and age, a lot of men have become feminized. They become, as Tariq Nasheed would say, simps. And I've been in public places and social events where I just seen women just browbeat their man. That makes me cringe.
It's so bad.
Oh, it makes me cringe. I just want to bend that woman over and just fuck her doggy style right there. Just slap. See, this brings back my concept of revenge sex. When I see a woman browbeating a man, I just want to, man, I ain't going to even lie. I want to fuck the shit out of her. I want to just, I'm going to pull her hair while I'm fucking her doggy style or some shit. But, yeah, you know, a brother got to have enough backbone. Now, who is this? Oh, somebody trying to hey, more 7 in my chat room. Call in since you're taking stabs at me. Call in like I did the brother at the beginning of the show. He was trying to dog me out in the chat room, so I invited him to call in. But Marcia, any other points you want to make before I move on to another caller?
Well, about the black woman, white man thing, like, that's why I said, it sounds like they're getting a lot of brothers are getting a little worried now because they see the sisters abandoning them. And,
now, come on now. What brothers are getting worried? I ain't been around no brothers that are worried about sisters abandoning them.
Because you know what? That becomes a real theme. Like, I've noticed a lot of conversations over the past, like, 3 to 4 years. That they're a little worried, and then what they'll do is they'll start talking about how the non-black women just want them so badly. So it's kind of like, I think what's happening is a lot of black women have just been very disappointed with who they've dealt with. So they're just looking other places, that's all. And if they find more happiness there, more respect, if they can pull out their credit cards, you know, and take them out, take them on trips, you know, pull out the chairs, treat them with respect, have something positive to add to their lives. So, you know, then they're going to go with that. And they'd be foolish not to. So it's just a wake-up call for brothers because it's happening.
A wake-up call for brothers. All right, Marcia.
Call.
Well, I appreciate you listening to my show, and I appreciate you calling in.
I do. I love it.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to move on to, this don't have an area code. Area code 111, who's this?
Yeah, are we connected? It's Mr. Solution. How are
it's
you,
Mr. Alan? Solution. Boy, you on everybody's show, man. Every show I go on, they say, okay, who's next? It is Mr. Solution, boy. You a Blog Talk Radio enthusiast, I give you that.
Well, slightly. Actually, you and I were on Dr. Veronica's show the other evening.
Yeah,
that was a good show.
I heard
actually.
You. So, well, what What in the conversation tonight struck your ear? What thoughts do you have?
Well, a couple of things, Alan. Myself and the guys were chopping it up the other night, and we look at guys like you and a number of other, you know, fairly prominent black guys who aren't dating seriously or aren't married to black women. Mm-hmm. And I know you probably promote black women, and we were just wondering why that was. Well, certainly I raised that question. Why would a guy like yourself, who knows so much about women, not have one? Now, I know also you've said that, and I quote you, that 97.8% of black women don't make good wife or good marriage material.
That's a slight misquote of mine. I never said those exact words. I said.
Okay, what did you say?
Well, I said, number one, people keep giving me this quote, but it's actually, and it's in my newest book, I actually was quoting a guy who wrote that on Facebook. There was
right,
a guy on Facebook, one of my Facebook friends,
you...
he wrote that he said 97.5% of the women he meets, he just wants to fuck. He said maybe only about 2.5% of women that he considers girlfriend material or wife material. And I did, now I did say my percentage is not too far from that. Because
okay,
I definitely
right.
meet more women that I just want to have a casual relationship with than there are women that I wanted to have a serious relationship with. But, yeah, it started off, I was actually quoting another guy's percentage.
Right, that's true. I say that. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
I definitely say that. No, but the point of it is that is a stupendously high number. But the other thing is the sister just said that black guys are afraid or something to that effect, that they are going to white women. Hey, we want to give you a going, white men, that is. We want to give you a going away party. Hurry up. The other thing is that I think that the majority of black women do not respect black men. And I've critiqued this. And one of the reasons is that the system supports them. On one low end, I say that welfare, they get welfare. On the other end, they get jobs. So they really don't respect black guys. And also I noticed that most black women are very poor negotiators. They don't know how to negotiate a relationship. It's all about game. And by the way, I looked game up in the Urban Dictionary, and what it means is guys lying to women to get sex. Guys lying to women to get sex. That's basically what game is. And so those are just a few of the points. But I think black guys who are in the 50,000 and above category should seek women out in other areas such as Asian, Hispanic and white, because those women are more relational.
So you basically say you have no desire to date a black woman is what you're saying.
Excuse me?
You have no desire to date a black woman is what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's consistent with what we just agreed upon. Most black women are not dateable. That's the reason they're single. And that is the reason so many guys, I meant to mention Hill Harper. I don't know what his relationship status is. But we named off a whole bunch of black guys, you included, who are not married to a black woman. Now, I don't know if you really promote black women as being
I told Dr. Veronica this, all of my long-term, what I would call serious relationships, have been with sisters. I've actually never dated outside of my race for a serious relationship. Now, casually, I fucked at least one woman from every ethnicity on this earth, and I'm not just saying that to sound braggadocious, but it's the truth. I mean, I don't think there's a woman. I fucked Asian, white, Hispanic, multiracial, whatever, particularly when I lived in L.A. because it's just such a mix of women. So casually, that's where I've had a diversity of partners. But when it comes to serious, you know, those serious boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, yeah, all my partners actually have been sisters. Here's my thing. I have my criticisms of sisters, no doubt, but I've never been a brother, and most people who listen to me know, I've never been one who slams sisters just and acts like other races of women are significantly better than them. Because to me, all women got their share of problems. They might not have the same type of problem. They might not be the same ones. But shit, white women got their problems. Hispanic women got their problems. Asian women got their problems. All women got their strengths and weaknesses, just like the same with men. All men got their strengths and weaknesses. The major criticism I do have, sisters, of today relates to what Marsha, I was just talking to woman Marsha, and she said she doesn't like the term submit. I don't like the fact that a lot of black women are very adverse to the concept of submission.
But isn't that crucial to a relationship?
It's crucial to my relationship. I can't date a woman that's not willing to be submissive. I tell women that as soon as I get to know them. I say, if you're not a submissive type, I can't date you. I literally cannot. I am never tolerated over a long period of time what I call a bossy bitch. I will not do it. I will not do it ever. Short term, now I fuck some women like that.
Right,
a woman who's a bossy bitch. I'll fuck her for a weekend, but long term, you know, I will never, ever, ever date a woman who has a bossy. But what I found, and I say this in my new book, which I got to plug, Ooh, Say It Again, 2/3 of those women, that's a front anyway. I've broken down women who publicly, there's a lot of women who will publicly act like they're real tough and domineering and shit. And then you get them behind closed doors and you break their ass down and they're submissive just like any other woman.
That's true. And that is a front. But still, Alan, you have to acknowledge. Well, let me just say this as an overarching observation of our relationship conversations. Mm-hmm. And they're multitudinous. That's all we basically talk about are relationships. But we don't walk away with a practical plan of action. It's just talk. In other words, when men and women talk in cyberspace like we're doing now, nothing is submitted that will cause them to actually communicate better. Everybody goes away with their same default, dysfunctional position. What do you think about that?
Wait, hold on a second. See, somebody called me out my name, so I got to kick them out the room, man. I try my best not to kick people out the room, but when you call me a nigga in my chat room,
Are you nuts?
Are you nuts, man? Do you come in my chat room, disrespect me in my chat room, and you think I'm going to keep you in my chat room? If you're on the phone, please, dude, I will blast your ass on my show. Do not call me out of my – I can disagree with people without calling them out their name. I don't call people out their name until they call me out my name. But, man, for you to call me out my name in my chat room – brother, dude, that is a big ass fucking no-no.
Was that Aaron or Moore?
No, Aaron
Moore
is cool. That's my boy. Aaron, me and Aaron are cool. Moore guy.
Well, he needs a picture of me. What the hell does he need a picture of a man for? What's up with that?
Man.
That's stupid. What is he? He says, we need a picture of this guy. Now, you use the term sometimes, and I'm going to use it very, very selectively, bitch. That is a bitch statement. Guys aren't supposed to be cute anyway. Guys are supposed to be manly. We don't wear makeup and do all that BS.
So he wanted to see a picture of you to see how cute you were?
Huh?
He said he wanted to see a picture of you to see how cute you were?
No. He didn't use the term cute, but he was using that. Well, I think that's the gist of it. He was kind of saying, well, we need to see a picture of that guy. Does he call in? I see him always making points in the chat room, these little snide-ass remarks.
Now, he's never been in my chat room before. I remember people most of the time. I've never
Aaron,
seen this guy
Aaron,
in my
I'm
chat
talking
room.
About
this
Aaron.
Is the first time he's been in my chat room. But that's one thing. I have a few certain kind of unofficial rules of my show and my chat room, and two things I don't like is when people disrespect my guest. I don't mind people disagreeing with the opinions of my guest, but I don't like people just blatantly disrespecting my guest. And even more importantly, I ain't gonna allow nobody in my chat room to blatantly disrespect me. And for him to call me a nigga
right
in my chat
you.
room, he got the boot. Anyway, so yeah, I forgot. See, that threw me off. I'm sorry, Richard. That made me get distracted from your. Oh, you were talking about the dateability of black women. Yeah, man, I don't have. I look at all women as having their strengths and their weaknesses. But as what I was talking about specifically, some of the problems I do have with some black women, not all, not most, but just some,
right.
Is that, yeah, a lot of them try too hard to present themselves as these, you know, I'm tough and I'm strong and all that shit. And, you know, I just lost my aunt who was 90 years old, and she was one of the strongest sisters of any woman I've ever known. I mean, I'm talking about real strength.
Right, real
strength. And you would never catch her saying, I'm a strong sister. That, I mean, women from my mother's generation, they didn't say stupid shit like that.
They didn't need to. They showed it. They demonstrated
it by
their behavior.
Yeah, they just demonstrated it.
But look,
you know,
here,
they didn't crumble
the
under adversity. That's what I consider strength, is when you you've lived a life where you've gone through your share of adversity, going through your share of shit, and you still standing. You didn't lean. You didn't start doing drugs. You didn't turn to alcoholism. You didn't start blaming other people. You stood up. Every time you got knocked down, you got back up, and you just let people know you were strong through your actions and behavior. And you don't need to go around. You know, I get sick of when I'm listening to some other shows. For example, women calling, "I'm a strong sister. I'm strong. I don't hear that shit."
Absolutely. Hey, Alan, but this is the point. The position that many black women take, and we need to be matter of fact on this, they're non-negotiable. The position, and I agree with you, other women do have problems, but they don't have problems that totally inhibit them from being able to negotiate a relationship, because they're in a higher relationship status than black women. In other words, they have a higher ratio of relationships. And so the point of it is, I think we need to concur on this, is that where black women's behavior tends to exclude them from healthy relationships. And that's important. That's an important distinction.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to have to close it here. Thank you for your good points, Richard. You always call in with interesting insight. And I'm going to take an intermission break. See, I done went over 2 hours. For those who just turning in, this was not supposed to be an open forum discussion show, but it's been an interesting one nonetheless. Diva, she mad again. She like, unmute me. Unmute my ass. See, she being bossy. See what I just said about sisters being bossy. She like, unmute me. At least she didn't call me the N-word. If you just tune in, we're supposed to have Byron Williams, who's the former bodyguard of Eminem, and he's going to be discussing from womanizer to husband, but something must have happened, and he didn't show up, so I went ahead and turned this into kind of a, one thing I do with a lot of my shows, I call it an open forum discussion. Now, Adrian, what you still... Adrian, you too demanding. See, we're talking about sisters like you. I know Mr. Solution was getting under your skin, and you got a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, I got to limit it, though. Real quickly, what just pissed you off?
What pissed me off is when he said, the last statement that he made, that most women cannot have healthy relationships because of their behavior. I tend to agree with that about 10%. I have a lot of issues with things that Mr. Solution said, but as you said, we don't have enough time for that. So maybe you have to do a part two to this show.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a part two. Okay, but I'm going to keep you in my queue, and I'll probably bring you in because I've already extended the show. I'm going to take a couple more calls, and then I'm going to do another intermission break. Eric Cole, 239, what's your first name?
Johnson.
Johnson.
Yeah.
And what's your thoughts? I don't know how long you've been listening, but from based on what you heard, what's on your mind?
No, I just called. I thought I've probably been listening about 30 minutes, and it was, you know, I just had to call because I was just thinking about the same issue. You know, one of my biggest frustrations is, you know, I'm a black man, and I want, and I kind of want to seek out a black woman, but, you know, a lot of them is just like, it's, the one, when you come around them and just listen to a lot of them, there, I can find like 1,000 reasons not to date them. And a lot of the reasons is just like your pure ignorance that they embrace. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. It's like when you watch TV or you go on Facebook and, like, you know, you have a show like Love and Hip Hop or something like that, and you hear some of the comments, it's just like a total turnoff because, like, the behavior that's being displayed on that is something that they kind of almost embrace internally. And you're thinking, like, from the perspective of other races, like, other races of men, if their women, like, kind of act like what's portrayed on TV, and I'm not saying that, you know, this is what they want to act like, or even, you know, it's kind of like, it's, but you know what I'm saying? It's like a churn off. And, like, and I've talked to some women that say, you know, that say they like the, you know, the bad boy and, you know, the thug and all that. And I was, like, thinking to myself, like, are they really saying that they got, like, low self-esteem? Or because I'm thinking from a guy's perspective, it's like, you might like a skank or, you know, a bad girl every once in a while. But, I mean, there's no way, like, an average guy or any guy of, you know, if any substance is going to, you know, take in a, you know, a bad girl and try to wipe her up. But when you go on the other side, it seemed like, you know, I mean, you do have some Captain Save-A-Hoes, don't get me wrong about that.
That term always cracks me up, man, Captain Save-A-Hoes.
But from the norm and just what I see in real life, it just seemed like it's for instance, I have a friend, like, it seems like the more dysfunction that he has in his life or the relationships that he had with his brother, the more he gets. The more dysfunction, the more he gets, and it's, and I'm not joking around. It's like, it's fascinating.
The more, are you saying the more pussy he gets?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. The more crazy situations that he comes up with, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, I mean, I have a life, I have, you know, shit to do, so I don't really have time to be dealing with bullshit and, you know, be on the phone like causing all this craziness, and but it seems like, you know, he has all the time in the world to do that, and it's like gold, and I don't really understand that, like, the whole thought process. You know, it's not like, you know, he's a thug or a bad boy or anything, but he kind of, you know, do that
he
that
just
whole
got
persona.
His share issues. Well, you know,
yeah.
There's a lot of women who are attracted to drama, either drama that they create themselves or drama that, you know, the people they're dealing with create. I had a woman I used to date actually admitted to me, to my face. She said, Alan, she said, I'm going to be honest with you. She said, I love drama. She said, I get bored in a relationship when there's no drama. And I actually had to give her points for just being honest because most women won't usually admit that. But she admitted that she loves, she said, I like drama. She said, I'll get bored of a relationship real quick if there's no drama involved. And there's some women like that. That's where the term drama queen came from. There's some women, they are not happy unless, again, either some drama related to themselves is going on, drama related to whoever their companion is, or it could be like close friend, roommate, whatever, but they love drama, and that's why, you know, soap operas are so popular, because they yeah. full of drama. Anyway, I appreciate you calling in, Johnson, and expressing your opinions. Right now, I'm going to take a break, but after I get back, if you're interested, I'm going to take a few more calls before I start wrapping up, but right now I'm going to take my last intermission break. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously and you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times bestselling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront, Straightforward, and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindsets is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my interview with up-and-coming writer and former entertainment industry bodyguard Byron Williams on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. Alan Roger Curry. Again, if you tune in late, I was supposed to have a guest by the name of Byron Williams. Byron Williams, he's a former bodyguard to Eminem, and he was going to discuss being going from a an incorrigible womanizer to a faithful husband. But something must have happened. I'm getting the benefit of the doubt. You know, we've been getting snow in the Midwest, and something must have happened to him. I can't see him just like blowing me off. So, you know, I'll find out what happened, and we're probably going to have to reschedule it. But anyway, what I've done, as I do with a lot of shows, sometimes I have shows that what I refer to as an open discussion forum, where, you know, I choose one topic, and tonight I've talked about a few different topics, and I let the listeners call in and express their opinions and or ask their questions, and, you know, I just carry the conversation on that way, and that's what's been going on tonight. I've been having a lot of my regular long-time listeners call in, and I've had even a couple of new listeners. Right now I have on the line Mr. Stan. He's in my chat room. He's in my chat room as Stan 14057444. What's up, Stan?
Very good, very good.
Oh, shoot. He said the mo. Let's see, now I can't find my mo. What's it? Where my mo? There we go. Mo.
Alan Roger Curry.
Up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
So what's your thoughts for anything that's already been said, or you might have something new to add in? What's your thoughts,
well,
Stan?
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for all the work that you've done. I've read all your books. I've listened to the direct game that you did with David X. I appreciate everything that you did, and I have to give you a lot of respect. And it's people like you that makes a difference. Especially, I remember one of the on the direct game, you said that you were getting emotional, and I have to say, as a person, you are one of the people that I respect the most, and I appreciate everything that you say. You make a total difference for a lot of men, and I acknowledge that on you. It's all on you. That's the first thing I want to say. Second thing.
Wow. You trying to get a brother choked up over here? Hey man, I really appreciate that feedback and those kudos, man. I always like to know that my message resonates with guys, and guys, you know, learn from the knowledge and wisdom I share, and to one degree or another helps, you know, them improve their lives and helps them improve their interactions with the opposite gender. So I appreciate, you know, you offering those kind, flattering words. Now, what are your thoughts on either, A, something that's already been said, or, again, you might have some new thoughts or a new subject to talk about?
No, what has been said from men or women? If I go more into philosophy and the same philosophy as you, I think everybody has to look in themselves in the mirror. And that's one thing my parents always told me. Take 100% responsibility, not 50, not 25, not 75, 100% responsibility for every choice you make. That includes relationship, women or men. If as a woman you accept a guy dogging you, you are accepting that. You are accepting a guy sleeping with you. You are accepting a guy getting you pregnant. You are accepting many things that you have the choice of not accepting and the choice of accepting. Same thing with a guy. If you are letting your woman walk all over you, I don't blame the woman. I blame you as a guy of letting that happen. Because if you had a very low tolerance and you believe in yourself and you had a respect of yourself, you would never accept that from any woman treating you that way. Same thing with women. You would not have said that. So when women are saying, well, it's because of the black guy. No, it's not because of the black guy. It's not because of it. It's because of you. And until you look at yourself in the mirror, and until you stop blaming the black guy, the white woman, the black woman, whatever you blame, and look at yourself and say, what can I do to improve this? What can I do to look at myself? Because the only person you can control in this whole wide world is yourself. You can't control a white woman. You can't control a black woman and everything. You can only control yourself, and you can only control what you will and will not accept. And I have a very, since I've listened to your show and listened to your book, I used to be a nice guy. Now I'm not. I have a very low tolerance something, very low on women. I don't accept drama. I don't accept a woman yelling at me. I don't accept that. If you want to do that, I tell her, you do that one more time, it's over. There's no coming back from that because I will not treat you that way.
You make a good point, Stan, and this is where I always emphasize both in my books and on my show the concept of backbone. That's, to me, that's basically where backbone comes in, is that when you have backbone, you're not going to allow people to treat you in an undesirable and or disrespectful manner. Matter of fact, I remember one time, it's been a few years now, but some of my listeners are familiar with a woman named Alexis K. Tyler. I was on her show one time. This is back, almost about 2 years ago. And this guy called in and started trying to attack me, saying that, you know, men have been dogging out women for decades, if not centuries, and that men have been doing this to women, men have been doing that. And he opened the door for me, though. In one of his final comments, he said, I can't remember his exact words, but he said something to the fact, yeah, and women have been allowing men to do this. And I said, stop right there. I said, you hit it on the head. You said women have been allowing. You know, I go from the philosophy, that old adage, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That means if somebody exhibits undesirable or disrespectful behavior towards you one time, then that's when you can kind of blame it on them because you didn't know they were like that. But if somebody is repeatedly treating you in an undesirable and disrespectful manner, that's on you. And that comes from having no backbone.
A lot of black women have forgot about responsibility, forgot about saying, you know what, let me look at it. And I'm sorry to say, if black women would do that, there would be a lot of black men who would go out and go with them. I'm sorry. I'm sick and tired of saying, no, we don't have an attitude problem. No, we don't have this. Yes, you do. If you start yelling at your guy and twisting him around and telling him he has to do that, you're not his father. You're a woman. You're supposed to be supporting him, or you're supposed to say, you know what, he has the right to do whatever he wants to do, like you have the right to do whatever you want to do. He doesn't own you. And a lot of women and men forget about this. You don't own another person when you're in a relationship. A relationship is about two people saying, I want you to be part of my life. And maybe one day, with time and everything, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, but a lot of people forget. They try to hold the person up. You gotta stay with me. You gotta stay with me no matter what. No, if the person wants to stay with you, it's because he or she wants to stay with it. He or she has the right to leave you also. It's not a prison, people. It's a relationship. It's about two human beings that are sharing things together. That's what a relationship is all about. And until the day that we forget about those things, it's about having fun also. It's about sex also. A lot of people are telling me, like, oh, I heard in the show, if you're sleeping around with a lot of women, you're a boy. You're not. Until you're upfront and forward, like mode one, and telling the truth to the woman, saying, you know what, I don't feel you that way. I just want to have sex with you. And there's no problem with that. And women should not take it personal when a guy is coming down with you. You should take it more personal when a guy is trying to be your, like you say, friend,
uh-huh,
and he's not really your friend. And if you would basically call him up anytime in the middle of the night and say, you should come over, trust me, he will not act like a friend to you. That's
you
not
know, Stan, let me interrupt you real quick. One challenge I always give to women, and I've only had a few of them take my challenge, but a lot of women will try to tell me, they'll say, Ellen, you are so anti-platonic relationships. Men and women can be platonic friends. That's, you see, you just so. I say, okay, this is what I tell them, Stan. I think you've heard me say this before. I tell them, I say, the next time you're around your quote-unquote platonic male friend, ask him, say this to your platonic male friend. Say, hey, you know what, Brian, Tyrone, Leon, whatever your name is, say, hey, you know, I get there by certain days, I just get really, really horny, and I was wondering at least 2 to 3 times a week, can I just give you a blowjob? Would you have a problem with that? And I said, see what that man says. I said, 99.9% chance you're going to get 1 of 3 responses. Response number one is, before you even finish asking that question, he's going to have his dick out. Number two, he's going to say, well, you know, I don't know if I want to compromise our friendship. I have to marinate on this and think about the pros and cons, but eventually he's going to have his dick out. And then the final reaction is going to be, ew, that's gross. See, you're like my sister. That's like thinking about my own sister sucking my dick. I said, only response number three means that that guy is really your friend. But more than likely, you're going to get either response number one or response number two. There are so many men out here that are engaged in what I call disingenuous platonic friendships with women. Disingenuous platonic friendships with women. It ain't real. Yeah. It ain't genuine.
And you know, the reason why, Alan, and I truly believe it is, because all those men, they didn't know. I truly believe that if every man could sleep with a lot of women and knew that, hey, I can get any woman I want, and I don't need to be desperate, I don't need to sleep with a woman that's disrespecting me, it would be better. I think relationship would be better. Seriously. If a lot of guys knew in their mind, they say, you know what? You could get any woman you want. You could get a beautiful woman and everything, and they would get the best woman for them. And they would not accept things. I think, seriously, the divorce rate would go down. A lot of people would be more happy, and women and men would be more happy because the man would stay with you for the right reason, because he wants to be with you, not because he's forced to stay with you. Which a lot of men do because they're scared of being alone. They're scared of saying, oh, that's my only girl I'm going to get chilling. I don't think I could get another girl. That's why I'm accepting her treating me like crap.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, thank you for your thoughts. I got to move
you,
over, man. You were very outspoken, Stan, and I appreciate you calling into my show. And, yeah, so keep listening and give me one more Mo One.
Mo
One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One.
Get up front, straightforward.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One.
Mo One.
Area code 508. 508. What's your first name?
Hey, how you doing? Peace. This is Brother Justice.
Brother who?
Justice Barnes.
Oh, Justice. Yeah, I've seen you in general. Okay, Justice. Now, if you've listened to some of the things that have been said tonight, do you have any commentary for something that's already been said, or you got a new issue to talk about?
No new issues. Initially, that guy at the beginning stages of the show there, that lost favor there, he seemed a little bit confused. And
oh, the first guy I talked to about revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he got a little testy over the concept of revenge sex. And now I don't want to totally disparage that guy. I mean, there were some things he said that, you know, were at least halfway valid, but. He came across as very judgmental, though. That's my single biggest criticism. He was passing judgment on other people's sex lives and sexual choices. And the reality is, man, not everybody's going to go down the same path when it comes to their sex life. But yeah, I didn't like him, for example, suggesting that people who engage in casual sex are immature. That maturity has nothing to do with you choosing casual sex over long-term monogamous sex.
Yeah, you should be able to come to a conclusion what you want to do in life. No one sets the tone of what you want to do as a man or woman. I mean, you're the dictator of your existence. I mean, you make it happen. Whatever pleasure you seek, I mean, you should be happy following that path, regardless of what race, ethnicity, whatever you want to do, just be satisfied and be accountable for your decisions.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, anything else on your mind about anything else that was said tonight?
No, not necessarily. I'll just sit back and listen to the rest of the show there, but I appreciate your time there.
Okay, well, I appreciate you calling in, Justice. Yeah, I appreciate you being in my chat room, too, and being active. Now, if Neil is still on here, I talked to Neil earlier. I got your tweet link, Neil, about the drama. You heard me talking about the drama. Man.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Some women, man, that's their thing, man. They just love drama, man. And like I said, I dated a woman. She was just frank and candid about it. She said, Alan, she said, I get bored when I'm in a relationship and there's no drama. She said, I love drama. Have you ever dated a woman, Neil, that you would categorize as a drama queen?
Oh, yeah, man, all the time, man. That happens all the time.
You see, that's,
you know,
more
than... How can you not?
The
question
norm
is
an exception, huh?
Exactly. It's the norm, man. They all about drama. Because like I said in that post, you know, if you gave a woman a choice to choose between appreciating what she has in a relationship versus complaining about what she wants, then she always choose the latter. You know, they're never satisfied. They're never happy. Her job is to always find something wrong with you, and that's something we always got to approve towards. So, I mean, it's always about drama, man. It's always something.
Yeah, man. Now, I know you've been sitting around just listening. Was there anything anybody said after I last spoke with you that caught your ear that you wanted to say, maybe comment on or offer rebuttal to?
Well, the one lady that was talking about I was insecure, I'm like, give me a break. I mean, she's the kind of woman we want to avoid. I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, that's the type of one that, I mean, you see how she just started out all about negative when she talked about submitting. She automatically went, well, why would I want to submit to a fool? Nobody said nothing about submitting to the fool. It just shows what kind of mentality she has. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's really bad out there.
Yeah, wait, hold on a second. I just heard something that was, what the heck was that? Yeah, no, I would defend you, even though I've never met you in person. No, you're not, at least based on my conversations with you, I've never heard you say anything that would warrant the insecure tag. Sometimes, I hope you don't mind this. I don't want to put you on the spot or put you in an awkward situation, but she's actually, oh, now she just dropped out. I was going to say, she was actually still in my phone queue, and I was going to have her address you directly, but I think she dropped off now. No, you didn't say anything that was just insecure. You just said something that she disagreed with. But, yeah, sisters, you know, it's funny. This is what kills me, and I might have to bring Adrian back on just to get a female opinion. I know she's going to have something to say about this. But a lot of women, and particularly black women, they treat submissiveness like not only is it a bad thing or undesirable thing for them, but like it should be something undesirable for us. But if they were using any common sense, what man would not want a submissive woman? Neil, tell me a man. Well, there are at least a small percentage of men who like to be dominated by women. I've read the article where there's this. You know, you and I would call those the passive beta male types.
Right.
So there are some men out there that do want a woman that's like as close to a dominatrix as possible. But that little rare exception aside, I don't know any man that would want a submissive woman.
Yeah.
Especially within the context of sex. I always want a submissive woman. I want a woman. Matter of fact, there was a woman I used to date. Her name was Brenda. We used to date in the early 2000s. She had the best assessment of me, I would say, more than any other woman who's ever tried to assess my taste in women. She said, Alan, you know the number one type of woman you need? I said, what? She said, you need a woman that's halfway between a normal conventional girlfriend and your own personal sex slave? And I chuckled at the time she said that, but as I thought about that comment later on, I said, that's a fairly accurate comment, because that is true. Again, particularly as it relates to sex, I like women that that will just let me totally erotically dominate them. If someone would come trying to be bossy with me, I don't like bossiness really in bed or out of bed, but definitely, you know, if you real sassy, try to be sassy bossy within the context of eroticism, oh no,
right.
I'll fuck you for a weekend. As I told her earlier, caller, you know, I fuck some women who tried to be bossy, you know, for a day or for a weekend. But you talking about long term? Oh, hell no. No, uh-uh. No. I, shit. Don't let me get to talking too much. I'm going to reveal all my shit. But
you just brought up an interesting point. You just brought up a very interesting point. Because I just did a post, I think it was last week, about are you traditional or modern? And what I'm finding is a lot of women today, you know, they want to be traditional when it's beneficial. In other words, you know, she can have a great career, make good money, but, you know, I still want a man to court me. I still want a man to take me out. And then as soon as I say, well, I want my biscuits from scratch, then she's like, oh, I ain't doing all that. So on the one hand, she's trying to be modern, meaning she's trying to be in charge of the relationship and she don't cook and do all this traditional stuff. But then on the other hand, she wants to be traditional when it's me taking her out, spending all my money and so forth. So there's a real conflict going on right now with that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of these women can't decide.
That plagues, I would agree with you, Neil. That plagues a lot of women. And I think that's why you have a lot of men who are getting on. See, because back in the day, and I'm going to date myself, I'm a little older than a lot of you guys, but, you know, back in the day, you didn't have men that really, at least in a public way, complained about their relationships with men. They left the complaining to women. But one reason why you have men expressing themselves nowadays on blogs, on videos, books, whatever, is because a large part of it is because of what you just talked about, is that a good number of women, I'm not going to say all, I don't even necessarily want to say most, but a good number of them, yeah, they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to ride the feminist wave and say, hey, I want more control. I want to be the leader. But then, like you said, when it comes to money, though, they still want the man to pay for shit. And I'm like, hey, shit, if you're going to be a new age woman, then shit, you
exactly.
pay for shit. You know?
What's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. That's their mentality. So, you know, they got these egos. I mean, women got big egos today, man. I'm like, damn, chill out. I mean, I know you got money. I know you this. I know you that. You don't got to say nothing to me. I know that. I can tell by just your body language. But, God, man, they just don't understand it. Just tone it down. Do you really want a man in your life, or you just want to just sit there and yak about it, not having one all your life? I mean, it's just crazy out there, man. It's just totally crazy, all the stuff I get to see. Because I get to meet people from all over the place, being in Vegas. And, you know, I make it an effort. When I see a black woman, it looks like she got something going on, I make it an effort just to talk to them, at least to say hi. And just see where they at, man. It's just crazy, some of the stuff that's going on out here. Unbelievable. I had one girl that I met at one of the wine events the other night. You know, I was like, you know, so, you know, I told her what I did. I told her that I blogged about relationships. So it got her attention. She said, well, I want a man who does this. It was like somebody who I see four times a week. He does this, he does that. And I'm like, do you want a man or do you want a happy meal? That sounds like you're picking out a number one, number two. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, damn.
A man or a happy meal. Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
I'm
told this story once on the show. I have a female friend that I'm still fairly cool with. And one time we were talking about relationships. So I asked her to write down what she was looking for a man, you know, her primary attributes that she felt like her ideal companion had to have. And I said I would write down mine. My list had, I think, about 7 or 8 qualities. I want to say at maximum 10. Her list had 38. No joke, no exaggeration. She has 38 specific things that she wanted in her ideal companion. And I was like, you ain't going to never find a brother that got all that shit.
Right.
And sure enough, I don't, you know, want to dog her out because she's still my buddy. But I predicted this, and this was like 10 years ago. But I told her, I said, you are never going to get married as long as you maintain it. Listen, to this day, she's still not married.
Yep.
And, you know, it's one thing to have standards. I don't criticize any woman who has standards. But there's a fine line difference between having standards and being just persnickety and ridiculously nitpicky.
Right.
And there's a lot of women out here that are, like, ridiculously nitpicky when it comes to what. It's like this guy, what's his comedian? He used to be on the Fox show. Jamie Spears, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He was on this talk show one time, and he talked about that. Stuff he was saying was both funny, but it was very, very true. And I can't remember all his exact words, but it was to that effect. He was saying that, you know, a lot of women today, they want a man who looked like Boris Kojo and got Warren Buffett's money and, you know, got a porno star dick and got a Harvard PhD and, you know, own their own island. And he was like, you ain't going to find this shit.
Right.
He was like, you know, I don't even understand why you're even looking. You ain't going to. And if you do find a man, do you really, really think that he's going to want to settle down just with you? And this is what I tell women all the time. When the women who are like, have those really high standards, I'm like, 9 times out of 10, if you meet a man who's got a whole bunch of shit going for him, talking about like looks, money, education, shit, that motherfucker's going to be trying to get as much pussy as humanly possible. He ain't going to have no motivation to be faithful to one woman. Why would he? Why would you want to fuck one Kim Kardashian when you got 20 Kim Kardashians throwing a pussy at you?
Right. And you remember I did a post on that. Remember I called it Humped and Dumped, Why Women Should Hide Their Fantasy List? I think you commented on that about something I said. But I was saying the same thing. Women with these damn lists are the easiest one to trick and manipulate because all you got to do is pretend like you every one of those things. And then once you get what you want, you're like, oh, you know what? I thought I was going to be religious, but I'm not. Or I thought I was going to keep working out. Or I thought I wanted to lose weight. I mean, there's all kinds of tricks I've seen people play. So women that put out these lists, I want this, this, and this, it's easy for a dude to say, you know what? She's worth it. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be all these things. And then once I get what I want, I'm going to dump her ass. Hump, then dump. That's what I called it.
That's so similar to revenge sex.
Huh?
I said that's similar to revenge sex. Hey, I'm going to bring in your buddy, and I hope you two don't go at it again. Now, y'all two were cool with each other last night, but I'm bringing my buddy and your new buddy, Adrian. Adrian, I know you just been getting fired up on a lot. Matter of fact, Adrian, in addition to you, I've never had two women in this show open on the same line, but I see Neil, your friend, the one who called you. Wait, hold on. Marcia, is this you? Okay, Marcia, I'm going to let you go out of it. You called my boy Neil insecure. Neil said, I ain't no motherfucking insecure dude. So what you got to say now, Marcia? He ain't no insecure brother.
Well, the reason, first of all, he miscast what I said. And so let me reemphasize my point. I said that no woman should submit to a fool, and there are far too many out here. That's what I said. I didn't say I didn't want to submit to any man. I also said that I didn't like the term submission because it's been misused against women. That I didn't say that I didn't understand the term. I said simply because of how it's been used to the detriment of women. That's why I didn't like the term. So can I just get that cleared up?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking to Neil.
Okay. And secondly, I think women have evolved much farther than men, and that's a real big problem.
Whoa. You said women have evolved further than men?
Yes. Yes, in a lot of ways, and I say
be specific when you say shit like that. Give me a specific example.
Well, in terms of you know the ability to, you know, like you were complaining about women always not being satisfied and always wanting to change things. It's not change just to change. It's because they're always. This is a woman's nature to want to improve. to all who want to improve their living situation. They look into the future. They have an idea of how they want their lives to be like, what they want their children's lives to be like. They want to have more opportunity for themselves and their families. So they're always looking to improve. It's not that they're not satisfied per se, but that's a woman's nature. She's not going to sit on the couch with a can of beer and watch a football game all day Sunday. That's not her nature to do that. So I think there's
Wait a minute. I don't know, because I got my friend Adrian on the line, and she's like the biggest sports fan like in the history of female sports fans.
Well, I was at an NFL game 2 weeks ago. But that's not going to be my prime motivation for getting up in the morning. It's, you know what I'm saying? So all I'm just saying is I think that a lot of ways a lot of men are still dragging their knuckles on the cane floor, and the women are walking upright. And they're looking at these men, and they don't view them as being competent enough in major areas. So they cannot submit to a man like that. So if they don't have their stuff together, if they're not aware of how to communicate as an adult. A lot of men that I have found, they feign a lot of arrogance to hide a lot of insecurity and incompetence. And trust me, an aware, wise woman will sniff that in a minute. And so a man will sit back and go, oh, she's disrespectful. She doesn't want to submit. You know, she has these standards. Well, buddy, what can I say? I mean, if she's had any kind of experience in the world, if she's dealt with all different kinds of people, if she's become educated, she's not going to want to submit to someone that she doesn't view as competent.
Now, I can only speak for myself, Marcia. I'm not asking any woman to submit to a guy that she doesn't feel is worthy of submitting to. I would never suggest that a woman should do that. But I have problems with just women who more so have the attitude like, I'm not going to submit to any man.
Well, you know,
then my attitude is this.
They don't understand the term. They don't really understand it. Because you know what? That's what the slave master told black people. So that's kind of like, probably in the back of you'll submit to your master. Well, you know what? You're not my master. Might be my man, but you're not my master. Okay? So I think there's just
I'm sorry, Marcia. In the bedroom, I'm my woman's master. Yes, I am. I'm the master. She got to call me sir or daddy.
Well, I'm calling my outside the bedroom. And trust me, a woman will really gladly take off the armor and the shield and the sword.
Well, you're not.
And we don't submit, but the man has to be worthy. And if he's not worthy, she'd be very silly.
No, I don't think me or Neil, and I don't want to necessarily speak for Neil, I don't think either one of us or any man that I really know of would suggest that a woman should either date a man who she's not attracted to, submit to a man, she does things worthy. But what we were just recently talking about, if you heard me and Neil, is that I just have a problem, and this is not only black women, but this is in some cases just women, period, who have these really unrealistic standards for a male companion. Like, I've had women literally say to me that they, you know, like I was kind of joking about, but I really wasn't really joking. Like, there's some women, they want a guy who's super good looking, super rich, super good in bed, super educated, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, number one, you ain't going to find a motherfucker like that. And number two, if you find a motherfucker like that, he ain't going to be monogamous. It's one of the two.
I agree with that. I mean, the rare man, it'll be a rarity that would be monogamous. That's absolutely true. I think people are, you know, they exercise their options. So if you have it going on in life, it's just like with women. You know, you're young, you're beautiful, you know, you're smart. You know, you're making good money. You know, you're going to have more options than somebody who's, you know, doesn't have it going on. So you can exercise options, you know, depending on, you know, your situation. And men, but you're right about that. I think a lot of them go end up very lonely and unhappy later in life, and I've seen that over and over again.
Okay, Marcia, I got to cut you off here because I'm running out of time. So I'm going to go down the list and start with you. I'll start with you, actually. Give me your one, no more than 2 minute final thoughts on either anything that was discussed tonight or just dating and relationships in general. Give me your final 60 to 120 second thoughts.
Who are you speaking to?
You said what?
Are you speaking with me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Marcia. I want you to give me your, because I'm getting ready to wrap up the show. So I want you to give me your final thoughts of the night.
I just keep it real, be honest, be cool.
Wait, you said be honest, so that means I got to get another mode one. Give me another mode one.
It's all about mode one.
Mode one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one.
Up front, straightforward.
Mode one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one.
Mode one.
Okay, Neil, what's your final 1 to 2 minute thoughts of either everything we talked about tonight or just dating relationships in general?
Well, I mean, as far as just, you know, dating and relationships in general, from a black perspective, as far as black women and black men, I mean, it's a mess out here right now. It's a disaster. And I just wish women could just tone it down just a little bit and just really think what it means to be a woman and not to be, you know, queen this and queen that, you know what I mean? Everybody can't be a brand. Everybody wants to be a brand these days. Just tone it down a little bit when it comes to men. When you're at work, you do your thing. Make your money, do what you got to do. But when you come home to your man, when you're on a date, you got to change that attitude. You got to be a woman. You got to be in love. You got to be having fun. You can't be afraid of the word submissive. Nobody's telling you to submit to a knucklehead or to somebody who's a little woman dressed like a man. We're not saying that. But when you find somebody you really dig, when you find like you're around a man that's giving off that right energy, be a woman about it and don't screw it up. That's all I can say.
Okay. That was good stuff, Neil. And finally, my sassy friend, Adrian, what's your final 1 to 2 minute thoughts of either what was talked about today or just dating relationships in general?
Okay, you can't have me be quiet for an hour and then ask me to sum up in 2 minutes. You know, as you saw in the chat room, I got extremely fired up. I just think you need to have a part two to this show.
A part two to this show, okay.
Definitely a part two to this show.
I'm going to take that as a suggestion, and we're going to have sometime soon, maybe in mid to late February, because I get guests for the next, I want to say, 4 weeks. So it had to be sometime mid to late February or early March. I'm going to have another just open forum discussion, and we can continue a lot of these themes. But I want to thank everyone who called in, everyone I spoke to, Stan, Adrian, Neil, Marcia, Mr. Solutions. I think one brother's name was Johnson, and whoever I'm forgetting, please forgive me. But whenever I have an open forum discussion, it's you, the listeners, who make it happen. You know, you guys make it happen. So I want to thank those who are still in the chat room. Black Man USA, thank you for listening this long. Christian Davis, thank you. Desaline, I don't know if I pronounced that right, thank you for listening. The guest in the chat room, thank you. Justice called in, thank you. Madison Media Live. Madison Media, I ran your promo tonight, man. What's up? I ain't seen you in a minute. Thank you for listening. Michael G. Cock, a top blogger on the internet, thank you for listening. Rexy, thank you for listening. And Smarten Up, thank you for listening. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend, especially if you live in the Midwest. A lot of snow out here, dangerous driving. Please drive carefully. Drive slowly, because Lord knows I've had my share of driving mishaps in winter weather. So please be careful if you live in a city where there is snow on the ground. I will see you next week with Chris Miller.